120 bucks a round.
Yeah.
And getting it.
Yep.
I mean, there was a backup.
I remember Tour 18 used to be on a busy Saturday, like a Memorial Day Saturday. They would say, well, we're just pacing on demand. If you want a tee time, you get your tee time, show up, and we'll tell you what the price is.
Yeah, it's like a stock market.
Yeah.
Right now,
we're anywhere between $125 and $165 for...
But cooler heads have prevailed.
Yeah.
But just for the LPGA Tour, I was watching a little bit of it last night. And the first thing my wife says is, she's watched about three or four players that rotating on the screen. She goes, why does everybody on the LPGA Tour dress so drab and... You know, not cute. They don't wear like the latest and greatest. They can get anything. And the first person she singled out was Annika.
Really?
Why does Annika dress like a guy? Why can't she wear cute stuff? Why can't she be more presentable? She's obviously the biggest name. Why not cute it up a little bit? And,
yeah.
You know, from a chick saying that, you know, you got to think guys are thinking of it.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. All right, 9:46 on the ticket. Good answer, by the way. 9:46.
Well, you know, I'm contemplating, huh?
You were?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Oh. I felt like George is on there.
Yeah. Okay.
You're boring me.
We're at
Grubbs. You talked way too much about the LPGA.
We're at Grubbs Nissan for about another 15 minutes. Come out here, 183 in Norwood in Bedford. Great deals going on. They have great incentives. They'll give you a $40 gas card just for coming out and test driving a car.
How about that?
And I'm thinking is, you test drive a car, you're not only going to walk away with a gas card, you might walk away with that car, too.
Have you seen the Armada?
Yeah.
What a car, huh?
Great car.
$8,000 off sticker.
Hey, you got Memorial Day weekend, you got end of the month quotas that you guys got to make, and it's raining on and off. It's the perfect trifecta for you getting the best deal of your life on a great car line, the Nissan. Okay, up next, we'll see what old Ben and Skin
have scored
for their big deal today. Yeah, on the ticket.
Robert Earl Keane, Texas Uprising.
Rockin' Texas music.
Tomorrow, the Gray Field, Fort Worth.
Get your tickets before they're gone at all Kroger's food stores.
Robert Earl Keane, Ingrid, Frank McNally Robinson, and Tanya, Trainer, Andy Rogers Band, and many more.
Chevrolet presents the Texas Uprising.
Brought to you by Coors Light, Dickie's Barbecue, and your friendly Tina. Robert Earl Keane, Texas Uprising.
Rockin' Texas music.
Tomorrow, the Gray Field, Fort Worth. Tickets on sale at all Kroger food stores.
Hey, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend, and babe, we got a deal. The White Bluff Resort between today and the March 31st, you can get a gift certificate for a complimentary future stay if you just travel down a quick 80 minutes down to White Bluff and Lake Whitney.
All right, here's the deal. You can go down there and stay in a great place,
right,
only an hour away, play two really good golf courses, stay in a right, nice place, have great views over the lake, do some water sports, whatever. And then you can go back again. It's like having your own timeshare.
Yeah. They'll give you a future stay absolutely free. So you grab your wife, let her go down. They have a full spa down there. You're big on that, getting a massage and all that.
Robert Earl Keane, Texas Uprising.
As if seeing Robert Earl Keane, Dierks Bentley, Jack Ingram, Charlie Robinson, Lost Trailer, the Randy Rogers Band, Kevin Fowler, and more isn't enough.
Memorial Day weekend, Fort Worth.
Here's what happened at the Texas Uprising last year.
I saw a guy with his here. Come on. That was pretty funny.
Skippy, it'd be nice if we could take some more clothes off, though.
I do love the sausage.
Exotic piercings, tight, sweaty bodies, chicks enjoying sausage. Plus, rockin' Texas music all day long.
It was great. It was wonderful. Awesome.
Chevrolet presents Robert Earl Keane's Texas Uprising.
Tomorrow, Fort Worth.
Robert Earl Keane.
Back on Main Street in a new Mercedes-Benz. The road goes on forever, and the party never ends.
Robert Earl Keane, Texas Uprising.
Tickets on sale now at all Kroger food stores.
Brought to you by Coors Light, Dickie's Barbecue, and your friendly Tina.
Hello?
Is Dale there?
Yeah, Matt is calling.
Yeah, this is Dan Bennett.
Okay, hold on a second.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dan Bennett.
Hello?
Dale Hanson.
Dan Bennett.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
All right. Didn't wake you up, did I?
Nope. Chris did that.
Nah. Hey, excited about the ticket thing.
Good.
Excited about that. A couple of items about it. do you mind at least a couple of times a month co-hosting with Rocco?
Probably not. That's a little twist that I'm not sure I'd be real comfortable with.
All right, we can talk about that. I won't force
that. Where's that coming from?
Well, this is kind of reaction from him, but we can table that one. We can probably work around that one.
The only problem I got with that, I mean, you know, I don't have any personal problems with anybody, but I mean, you know, this guy's tried to make his name for 2 years by beating up on me.
Yeah.
And now I'm supposed to sit there and do what?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to sit there and get into a pissing match with him on the air and play some kind of a fake deal, you know.
No, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I wanted, and we can table that one. The one that I think you might have a problem with, and again, this is coming from me because I'm getting hammered on this thing. Because we have you on, all the other stations that advertise with us are saying, can we get our guy up? And just a thought, just hear me out.
Can we do what now, yeah?
Well,
the Ticket Drop Page Radio.
D&M is open today until 2 o'clock, so call them right now at 35-LEASE from any local area code. That's 35-LEASE. Be sure you ask for the Avid Golfer T-Box Special when you call. You can still get no down payment, lower monthly payments than buying a vehicle, and you can lease a new or lease return vehicle. Best of all, you can lease it right now over the phone. Call 35-LEASE or visit them online at dmautoleasing.com. And get the Avid Golfer T-Box Special and enjoy a round of Cowboys on D&M.
When we say sports, you say now.
The Texas Rangers have matched 21 homers over their 7-game winning streak. Ticker brought to you by Innovative Plumbing Services and Bass Pro Shops. Although the Bats have come alive on their current home stand, third baseman Hank Blaylock knows the team is playing solid defense.
Pitching and defense is what wins ball games. I mean, you know, our position players, you know, we get a lot of credit for our offense, but you know, we played a pretty good defense this year as well.
Texas, fresh off a 6-2 win over the White Sox, looks to make it 2 straight over Chicago this afternoon at 3:05. Chanhope Park goes up against the 8-1 John Garland. You can see that game on Fox 4. Third round play is underway at the FedEx St. Jude Classic. Local favorite Justin Leonard is leading after two rounds at 13-under, 5 shots better than Frederick Jakobsen. The tournament is devoid of any real big names. However, Davis Love III is 8 shots back at 5-under. The leaders tee off today in the noon hour. And the Cowboys have a full team mini camp this weekend at the ranch. And the team has something they haven't had in a while, that being a healthy tight end, Dan Campbell.
I'm great. I'm 100%. I feel good. You know, I said earlier, I've been counting the days. I had this marked on my calendar, you know, get full speed by minicamp and be ready to go. And so I made that, and I'm excited.
Campbell missed the majority of last season with an injured ankle. Our next Ticket Ticker coming up at 10:10, breaking sports news first guaranteed. I'm Sean Bass, reminding you to remember the time you spend listening to the T-Box. Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, reminding you that if a man's zipper is down, that's his problem. You didn't see a thing.
954 was a ticket. 954. No, that if a man's zipper is down, don't say anything. You didn't see it.
I very rarely will tell a person that their zipper is down. I mean, find some little comic relief. Just let a guy walk around without a clue.
All right, we're winding down at Grunts Nissan today.
You know what? You're sorry.
183 and Norwood in Bedford. A lot of people thank lovely Kevin for keeping us on the air and lovely Tony for doing a very nice job on the promotional table.
Lovely Tony?
Yeah, lovely Tony. And
lovely
with
Tony.
It, Claudia and Kathleen for bringing us most appreciated eye candy. And next week we'll be at Honda and McKinney as we circle the Metroplex on our dealership tour. But let's see. Back at the station, Jared, for doing an exemplary job, and Sean Bass for delivering Ticket Tickers. Right now, let's go out to Brooks Mays, which I think is a music emporium, and talk to lovely Skin and lovelier Ben.
What's up, boys?
You need a new adjective other than lovely.
I like it. I do, too. I'm fine with it.
Okay, lovely Ben.
Yes.
What's up, bud?
What's going on, my friends?
My golfing friends?
Golfing friends. Boy, I'm so heartbroken that the Mavericks still aren't playing.
They're not?
No.
We're going to still talk Mavericks.
They are in their mind. They've been
playing
the past week. They're playing some great pickup games right now.
We're going to take you to those pickup games live today.
All right.
With fake internet coverage of it that we'll read over the air.
You know, I got to think that it's probably a good thing that Avery was coaching. Because if Nelly was coaching when they had that meltdown at the end of Game 6, he'd have been lit. I mean, he would have just been torched. But they give Avery a second chance because he's a rookie.
There's some truth to that. But, I mean, obviously, if Nelly was coaching, they'd still be playing right now.
That wouldn't have happened with Nelly. You think so?
I think this would be their year if Nelly was coaching.
Is he being facetious?
Yeah, I'm joking around. Okay. But I think I don't think Nelly would have let that happen in that situation.
He's got all the experience, man.
He's a much larger target. He would have jumped out in front of Stackhouse, first of all, and been able to get his attention to call a timeout. Stack may not have seen Avery. But that was just a pitiful.
So the last 2 weeks I'm listening to the radio and I hear every show on the ticket talk about how bad the Mavericks are and how much changes they need to make and everything else, and I'm thinking that they're still one of the top six teams in the NBA. Do you guys think they need to make wholesale changes?
Hey, man, thanks for teasing our 1050 segment.
All right, good.
Yeah, I don't know if it's wholesale changes, but I think they could use a few changes. I mean, that's what it is. Every year, you know, when you lose, your weaknesses are pointed out, and then you have opportunities to address those weaknesses, and the Mavericks don't really have much, you know, they don't have a draft pick, and they're above the cap, so they have to be very wise with how they use their exceptions.
I like Grego's line. He says, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, and I think that would be apropos for the Mavericks. I mean, and Cuban, I don't think, can help himself. He's got to make a deal. He's got to do something in the offseason, and whatever that is, I'm not sure, but he'll get something done just because change is good.
Well, one of the good things, too, is that, you know, Avery Johnson got really, really good playoff experience this year and made a lot of mistakes. And the type of guy that he is, I have a lot of confidence that he's going to learn from those mistakes.
You know, I agree with that, too. And my feeling is Josh Howard's just going to get a year older. Those marquees, Devin Harris will get a year older, might be able to contribute in the playoffs next year, which he didn't at all. And I'm not sure. The only thing that worries me is if Dirk and Dampier really don't get along, then you have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But Dirk or anybody else.
Yeah, Dirk, it's funny, man. You know, who are the two guys that Dirk picked on more than anybody else?
Dampier and Terry.
Okay, what do those guys have in common? One, Dampier's money is money they didn't use to re-sign Nash, and two, Jason Terry is Nash's replacement.
Yeah, well, that was sorry what Dirk did, though, at the end.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah, he totally lost focus, and he wound up being the GOAT in the overtime.
He was the GOAT. I mean, if you're going to do that, if you're going to call somebody out, you better be the man. You better produce when it comes down to it, and he wasn't. He folded. He folded his tent, and it's funny. He's up there, you know, and he said we, but I think everyone perceived the basketball IQ as knocks on Terry or knocks on Dampier. What kind of basketball IQ does it take to shoot a turnaround three-pointer with a man in your stomach with 13 seconds to go?
And you don't have to play
pro basketball. It's not a very smart shot.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. And you don't have to play pro basketball to know that if a bit you're trying to pull off isn't working, the refs aren't buying it, don't keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't keep going to the basket and throwing up something just in the fervent hope that you're going to get fouled.
But look, this is the criticism that a guy in his role should be receiving when results like these happen. So it's par for the course. He deserves it. Hopefully he'll carry a canoe on his head this offseason with Holden Gershwalder, and he'll address all the weaknesses in his game. But regardless of how it happened, I'm happy about one thing. I'm happy that he was vocal. He didn't really do it the right way, and he certainly didn't handle his side of the bargain. But I'm happy to at least see him getting in people's faces. We've talked for so long. Why is he so passive? He looks like he doesn't care. I mean, you see that damp now where he just doesn't even look like he knows he's in a basketball game. I'm at least glad to see passion. Now,
yeah,
they need to redirect it in the right way and learn how to build on it without destroying team chemistry.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't think
I'm at least glad to see the passion.
I don't think what he was doing was leading as much as publicly sulking. But at least he was being, like Ben says, showing some sort of emotion.
Right.
And not being robotic German, man. You know, one of the things that what I'm appreciative is we have this team instead of the team in 1990, 91 when I moved here. and we've traded for Rodney McCray and Fat Lever.
Oh.
At least, I mean, at least we got a team that's in the playoffs. It's one of the top six teams. I'll take this team for the next 5 years and take my chances. I mean, yes, would I like to see him get better? But we don't have Tim Duncan, and we won't. And having a superstar like Tim Duncan shows that, I mean, they're a manhandle in Phoenix, and we don't have that.
So, Craig, am I to assume that what you're saying here is you think that trading for old players with bad knees is not a good basketball philosophy?
You're going to live, Craig.
You know, I'll say right now, yeah, Fat Lever and Rodney McCray were pretty big mistakes.
Oh, my God. Don't forget Alex English. Let's bring Alex English back in here.
But you know what was funny? I remember I was moving here at the time, right at the time, and the city was excited about the trades, and I was thinking, these guys are old.
I tell you what, man, there was a late teenager named Skin who wasn't happy about those trades. I can guarantee you that.
Hey, you guys are big Mav insiders. So who's Dirk's closest friend on the team now?
I think finally.
A lot of people don't know this, but Alan Henderson.
is he really?
No.
Genius. No, it's Finley, man. Finley and Big Al. The leftovers from the glory days.
Sean.
No, not so much.
It was funny. I remember the Mavericks were they practiced or they had a game or something during the regular season, and they were
practice game.
They were going to hang around and watch the Desperados play or something, and they, you know, all the players talking about going. Yeah, me and a couple guys are going, and Bradley just went by himself. He didn't go with anyone else. He didn't go with any other group of players.
No, he took his church group, but they weren't players.
Yeah, he he's what Chan Ho Park used to be to the Rangers. They see him in, and it's just a sobering effect, and it's just bad for the team. They've got to get rid of Bradley.
So if you had your druthers, all three of you, would you trade your current life for Sean Bradley?
Yes. Okay, here's one for you.
Serious?
Yes.
7'6".
Hey,
got nothing, but Skin, you're making big money.
Skin, here's one for you. I got this from a very, very credible insider.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Rick Sund?
Yeah. They had Bradley traded three times in the last year, and Cuban vetoed it because he made a commitment to Bradley that he would be able to finish his career in Dallas.
Lower than average.
Well, I don't doubt that. That's all right. You know, if that's the case, that's fine. If that's the case, that's fine because, you know, you can't, Cuban can't make ridiculous deals every year because players will be like, man, I don't want to go to Dallas. There's no, you know, you got to keep your word. If that's the case, you got to keep your word, I understand. But maybe after this year, maybe Cuban can sit Bradley down and go, look, man, you got to work with me here. You are so terrible. I've tried to do the best I can, but let's be honest. Come on, let's help each other out here. I've got to trade you, man.
Well, part of it, too, is the other players are not stupid. And they see old Sean sitting on the bench there contributing absolutely nothing. And when he's in there, he's a laughing stock, and he gets posterized every single time he's out there. That wears you down.
Man, I've said this a million times. When Nick Van Exel made his comments about a soft white boy, the soft white boys, he was specifically talking about Sean Bradley.
Yeah.
I mean, that is... you know, the other dudes that are friends on the other teams and they, you know, they like to rip each other and give each other a hard time, when they bring that up, they are talking specifically about Sean Bradley.
What about Dirk and Nash? He might have been including Dirk and Nash.
Wait, hold on. There was a
strong-willed...
Yeah, but guys don't get out there and see Nash or Dirk and just like, okay. I mean, how many guys never dunk in the course of a game, see Bradley and start winding up? There was an ESPN piece on the history of Sean Bradley getting dunked on. It's like, okay, this guy was a number two pick. He was guaranteed all this money. I'm going to humiliate this guy.
Yeah, don't you see guys go over to the photographers underneath the basket and say, hey, next time down, get your focus ready.
Here it comes.
Here
hey,
it comes.
Back at the mothership, the desktop image is of Tracy McGrady posterizing Sean. I mean, it's
like a pony.
It's an NBA punchline, man.
I thought that was a charge.
Back in the pre-charge circle days, that was definitely a
Yeah, he was set in the air.
Yeah.
See, and even if you're a teammate who likes to support your other players on the team, how do you do that with a straight face? Somebody's bagging on Bradley. Well, how do you look at one of your buddies on another team and go, no, man, Sean brings them to the table?
I love the interaction between Norm and Avery when it looked like Sean had one or two good plays one game. Looks like we woke up Sean Bradley, and Avery says, Bradley's still not sleeping?
Avery sounded like he was offended.
But back to your question, I would not trade lives with Sean Bradley. I've got big plans, big dreams. I'm not going to settle for being a 7'6 Mormon who can't play basketball.
I'm not sure I would either.
Boy, I would. You don't have to stick with one faith your whole life, boys.
You have to stick with one side.
When you got money, you can do a lot of stuff.
I want to make more money than Sean Bradley when it's all over, when it's all said and done.
I'm hanging in there.
Sell some pianos today, you might.
You're right. A lot of percentage of sales off pianos can lead you that $60 million road you still dream of.
There you go. A show in tune.
What?
Seeing it happen. A show that's going to be in tune.
That's a skip shot.
Yeah. Why not? Boy, he's been horrible today, Lowe's.
Hey, would you please use that in your SI column?
Do what? Squeeze it in there?
Yeah, squeeze it in there for me.
I think I will. I will do that just for you.
Awesome.
Okay, boys.
Hey, take it easy. Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend, too. Ben and Ben, up next.
All the other stations, 4, 5, 11.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They've been making a big deal about you being on. So just play along with me just for a second.
All right.
What if we had Murray, Jensen, Ducey, maybe Laufenberg once a month?
What, you mean on my time frame?
Yeah. Well, I'm with you.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, are you serious?
Well, it's just ideas for kicking around.
Yeah. No, I can't do that. You can put them on. I mean, I don't care about, you know, the,
yeah.
You know, if you want to hire them and put them on, but, I mean, obviously I don't want to come off like the egotistical there, but I mean, I think there's a reason you got me on your station instead of Scott Murray.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Hey, could you hold on just for a second?
Sure.
Hang on just for a second. Someone else. I'm gonna turn the phone off.
Yeah, no problem.
Steel?
Yeah.
It's Norm.
Yeah, Norm.
Whatever you do, don't fall for another prank call. I'm sorry, this is your ticket initiation.
This is like when a rookie comes into the NHL, they roll him in a carpet and shave his head. I can't believe you fell for another one.
This is getting ridiculous. Oh, they got me again. So why do I have a feeling that that last line about a reason I'm on the air is going to be played over and over?
This size matters to you.
Yeah.
But if it's an even bigger unit you're looking for, go to selfstoragetexas.com for Pack and Stack Self Storage. Pack and Stack has 6 locally owned facilities, so there's probably one near you. Visit selfstoragetexas.com and check out the special offer for P1. Any unit size you choose will get you a half off the first 2 months rent. You'll also get a free disc lock and you keep the key. Code gate access, surveillance cameras, and concrete driveways that are lit up like a high school football stadium on a Texas Friday night. They even offer free truck rental with move-in. Pack and Stack Self-Storage has everything from book boxes and wardrobe boxes to tape and other packing supplies for less than you'll find anywhere else. So if size does matter and you've just got to have a big unit, check out selfstoragetexas.com and Pack and Stack Self-Storage. Go to the website to find the location nearest you. Selfstoragetexas.com and Pack and Stack Self-Storage.
Let's say good morning to our deep throat informant. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, thank you for coming forward with this story regarding our coworker Jub Jub. I know this must be very difficult for you to tell, obviously, because you want your voice disguised.
Yes. I was in a bad section of South Dallas last night.
Mm-hmm.
To witness the crackheads.
Oh, you were witnessing?
Yes. And up walks this maiden with a big brown, ding-ding-colored birthmark on his neck.
Okay.
Who was wearing a ticket T-shirt.
That sounds like George.
And a pink bra over that.
It really sounds like George.
Who was very drunk and extremely jab.
Keep moving.
He said to me, do you know who I am? I said no. so he pummeled me and threw a bakery onto my legs and hand.
A bakery?
Yeah.
Onto your legs and one hand.
It was so horrible.
Oh, okay, well, hang in there.
It was horrible.
I know this is tough.
His drunk divinator. He propositioned me.
Oh, no.
And I myself am a man.
You're a what?
I'm a man. He propositioned. He wanted to be spanked. And for me to use a cucumber on him.
Oh, no. Well, that's something surprising. It doesn't sound like George.
Draft Page Radio.
That doesn't sound like George.
He also wanted me to call him Shirley. He then snorted a line of coke and gagged on North Texas. I told him I was not a male prostitute. And he asked me if I knew where he could find one.
Oh, that's awful.
Preferably black. I said, I don't know where to find one, Jub. This angered the large Jub.
Oh, no.
And he had a piano lowered onto my lower back. Crushing it and giving me a Jason Priestley injury.
For input from me and from other veterans, whereas with a young guy, he doesn't really want to hear from me. He just wants you to show up and play.
Cowboys continue their mini camp at Valley Ranch this weekend. The Texas Rangers won last night, 6-2 over the first place Chicago White Sox, making it 7 straight on their current 9-game homestand. And shortstop Mike Young feels like they can continue streaking.
Finally starting to play out from the ball, and I think if we stick with this kind of approach, the wins are going to keep piling up. All we have to make sure we really do is just stay consistent with it.
Today at 3:05, it's game 2 of 3 with the Sox. 4-1, Chan Ho Park starts for Texas. He goes up against the 8-1, John Garland. You can see that game on Fox 4. And right now, the semifinals of the Big 12 baseball tournament are going on in Oklahoma City. Baylor leads Texas 1-0 in the top of the first. Later today, Missouri takes on Nebraska in the other semifinal. Our next ticket ticker coming up at 10:30. Breaking sports news first guaranteed. I'm Sean Bass, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to Ben Skin filling in for the Rant. Saturday at 10 noon on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
On the run from Johnny Law. Ain't no trip to Cleveland.
Coming up next, the Chinese Ben Wayne.
I saw the whole thing. I'm only so bad.
Oh, yes. That's the Sports Radio 1310. 10:30 on Sports Radio 1310. Hey, I'm Eric Mays in Arlington, and we've got all of our traditional radio packs of land users. We invite you to come in person. Don't be scared. Come on up on down the I-1 tank. I'm going to be in person. Head tops about 100%. I think the shop trip is rough with stuff. It's just him. I love music. There's a lot of good deals to have here. Finish around there. Ticket to me. We're all right. The food machine artist. Join us. We want to take and that's no one like guitar. The sick car. It's supposed to be okay. Eric, this is a minute. I'm very happy to chat this. They're pointing to this guitar. They are. I know the two other parts are up and Mr. Play. One
Rangers have won 7 in a row. We'll talk Texas Rangers baseball. They have a huge test coming up today, as well as tomorrow, 2 of the biggest tests of this early season. We will get into a little radio pork. We might be turned loose here with a wireless interacting with the Brooke Mays clientele. And we might talk a little Star Wars during our traditional radio port segment.
That's right.
We will also do what we do best and take a look at the Dallas Mavericks. We'll look back at the season that just ended, and then we'll look forward to next season. But what we will be doing all during this presentation is taking your phone calls at 214-787-1310. Feel free to jump on with us at any point that you'd like to. But right now, Skin, let's get right into Dallas Cowboys football.
Rumor has it the Metroplex loves to hear Dallas Cowboys talk.
I heard that that fuels ratings. I don't even know what that means. It's kind of like your 25%. It's like, well, what does that mean? What are those words? I don't even understand them.
Well, I was listening yesterday when Bill Parcells was doing his press conference. They were announcing that he was going to be doing a press conference around 4, I believe. And I was listening to the hard line, and they were just so beaten by that. They were like, why do we need to hear from Bill Parcells? And Reiner just went on a rant, just ripping Parcells a new one. And I didn't get to hear that press conference. Did they end up airing it? Did you guys?
I didn't hear it. I heard they just re-aired Reiner's rant in that same slot where they were going to have the press conference.
That was better, because I agree with Reiner in that.
Did he say New Jersey con man?
Oh, quite a bit. All you hear from Parcells is stories about LT and all these guys that, you know, that are 70 now. And I don't care about the old Giants teams. In fact, I'd rather hear about anything else than the old Giants. I hate the old Giants team. I hate the old Redskins. I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't want to hear all that crap. So I did read some excerpts where he finally did actually talk about some things relative to this Cowboys season.
There's an interesting word you used there that is very relevant, and that word would be old. Is old not a theme with these Parcells Cowboys? Does it not keep going back to old? Old ties, old friends, I know what this guy can do, I can trust this guy. I mean, that's a trend that we've seen continue through this offseason, is it not?
It is. And, you know, Parcells is giving a, you know, press conference because obviously the Cowboys had their first big mini camp, and it will go through Sunday.
Was that a quarterback rookie mini camp school?
This one is a full mini camp.
But not rookie quarterback mini full?
I don't think so.
I get confused by all of them.
But, Skin, I got to tell you, man, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but as much as you love the Mavericks, I love the Cowboys.
I think I can see that.
And, you know, my whole thing is I get almost as excited about Cowboys practice as I do about some of the other big sports. Now, not Mavs playoffs or Mavs regular season.
Do you like Cowboy practice
Rangers
more than hockey lockout?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's hard to believe.
I there's just three sports on my radar, and, you know, in four, you include wiffle ball.
So are we not going to do labor talk at 12:15?
No.
Okay.
And I'm just excited that the Cowboys are back. I'm excited that I can open up the newspaper and see pictures of the Cowboys and read articles and start to hear about them. I'm sad that the Mavs are done.
But so you're happy sad.
I'm happy sad.
Cowboys never go away, buddy.
All we really ask of the Rangers is to bridge the gap between the end of the Maverick season and the beginning of Cowboy season. If they can do that, they'll be successful. But it's little mini camps like this that kind of make it exciting, I think.
It does. And the focus, I think, of where the Cowboys are going now is trying to figure out, one, they spent a lot of dough and made a lot of moves. Their draft was, everything was geared towards improving the defense. Now, they did have the signing Rivera to try and shore up the offensive line that is now going to be blocking for another old quarterback who is an old friend of Bill Parcells who he had success with in a different decade. But will the changes that were made on defense improve the offense? Because I kind of think that it will. I kind of think that, you know, the success that they had, whether it was a mirage or whatever you want to call it, with Quincy Carter 2 years ago, part of that success was because they limited what they let Quincy do, and they had the defense to back it up. They could do more of the ball control. Uh-huh. Last year, they didn't have the defense, and they had a quarterback that I think that Parcells had too much confidence in, and I think you saw the end result in that and how they played, and then, of course, the record. But with the changes that I think have been made to the defense, both in guys that are reliable, guys like Jason Ferguson, and then bringing in the new guys, the rookies, Spears and Ware, I think they have a chance to really do something on defense and kind of revert back to more of a ball control offense. Dan Campbell will be back. They'll hopefully have Julius Jones for the whole year. I don't see why we wouldn't think they wouldn't. And now it comes down to Parcells has a quarterback that I think that he's indicating that he trusts, a guy from his past. Will they move more towards doing the ball control type stuff and letting their defense keep them in the games if the defense can hold up? Or is it going to be throwing the ball down the field? And that's, I think, going to be the interesting job as the season progresses.
Yeah, exactly. The Cowboys are trying to make their offense better by improving their defense. And, you know, that's why they, you know, last year was ridiculous. They gave up like 25 points a game.
Yeah.
You can't win giving up that many points. And their offense is never going to be constructed to be an air it out style. Let's see who can score the most points like the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are, Parcells wants to grind it out. And I like, you know, I think people have overlooked another addition that the Cowboys made to the offense. I like the A-train. They brought in another running back who has got some upside.
Yeah.
1 year deal. He'll get some play. I mean, they don't want to tire out Julius Jones. I think they want to give him about 17, 18 carries a game. They don't want to give him 25 or 30 or 35 ridiculous numbers that he was putting up last year. They just didn't have any other options. So
it's their most reliable running back situation in 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
That's when Emmitt, you know, you could really count on Emmitt to do something. You know, they have some pop with Jones, and then, you know, A-Train's a reliable commodity.
I'm excited. I'm excited about the Cowboys season. You know, it's funny that, you know, that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to get back to the grind it out, slow it down style that, you know, they want their defense to win games for them, and they want their offense to just keep them in games and not have to score too many points. And it's so funny when Quincy Carter was the quarterback of the Cowboys, and we talk about, hey, they are scaling down the offense. They don't have a full offense in there because they don't trust him. They're just trying to let him be, you know, a caretaker and not screw things up. And people would call in, oh, you're crazy. He's the most athletic quarterback. You're nuts. And then after that season, oh, how can you talk bad about Quincy? He's a 10-win quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He sucks so badly.
But the good thing about having him was, and they had the defense to match, was they didn't play beyond their abilities, and they were able to eke out 10 games. And I foresee a situation, you know, Drew Bledsoe's got a lot of holes in his games, too. If you look at the last 3 years, inability to get a decent Buffalo team to the playoffs, 140 sacks over 3 years. He's an aging guy. He's unathletic. He holds on to the ball too long. But I think with the things that they have around them, if they can pan out the way that we're anticipating them panning out, there's no reason why they can't have a similar success to what they had 2 years ago and even be a better all-around team at the same time.
It's going to be the same idea. They just want a caretaker. They don't want a playmaker, and that's why Parcells wants somebody he can trust there. He doesn't need him to be spectacular. He doesn't need him to throw for 300 yards. He's just hoping that he can count on him not to make mistakes.
Don't make mistakes. I think that's exactly right, and I think that's the thing that they couldn't count on with Quincy is they felt that, you know, at any time this guy's going to make a mistake. I think they're feeling that Bledsoe being a veteran and being used to Parcells, which is what we heard about Vinny. Now, maybe we're being unfair on the Vinny situation last year because I think Dan Campbell is a big part of what they do. They did lose Terry Glenn. Maybe they felt they're in a situation where they had to kind of just go for broke. They had the early injury to Julius Jones. So maybe we're being unfair, but we can only base it on the results on the field. I think all the trends are positive trends and moving back towards the type of football that the Cowboys will feel comfortable playing.
I have a feeling that the ticket will continue to track this Dallas Cowboys sports story.
You don't think this is the last Cowboys segment of the summer?
I don't think so. So there will be more mini camps. We'll continue to cover this one throughout the weekend, all next week. So keep it here to Sports Radio 1310, the ticket for all your Cowboys news. Also, shout out to the Dallas Morning News. Pretty cool article today on Marcus Spears.
That was great.
They've got another article tomorrow on DeMarcus Ware. So,
hey, you know what I was thinking about reading that Spears thing is with him and Leroy Glover and Greg Ellis, they have a lot of quality people on that defensive line. Now, whether or not that translates into good play on the field, we'll see. But those are character guys. And then Parcells even said that when he drafted him. We drafted a character guy.
Right.
They got some character guys on that defensive line.
I totally agree. Skin and I are at Brook Mays in Arlington. We invite you to come join us. It's at 4636 South Cooper. Just punch it into your MapQuest, 4636 South Cooper, Cooper at I-20 in Arlington. We are going to be here all the way until noon. We invite you to come kick it with us out here. There are some very nice deals going on. Here's another one. Buy any 88-note weighted keyboard and receive a carrying bag for free.
Mm.
That's a $79 value.
Mm.
None of us can shake our heads at a $79 value.
No.
I invite you to tempt the money gods and shake your head at a $79 value. I don't even know what an 88-note weighted keyboard is, but I want that free $79 value for that carrying
bag.
You
give me the keyboard and you keep the bag. How does that sound?
Skin, by the way, before we go to take a quick break here, I bought a laptop the other day. It's my first laptop, and I'm so failed. I really don't understand. I'm having wireless network problems. I can't get it to work. So, you know, we need some traffic up here. But specifically, we need some traffic to come join us at Brook Mays, some people that know something about computers.
I take that one step further. We need people that know something about laptop computers that also are interested in buying music gear.
That's exactly.
That would be the ideal person to come up here.
That's exactly right. Or if you know something about laptops and you know that you need to spend some time with Mandy and Sarada, that will work as well. So feel free to come join us. We're at Brook Mays in Arlington, South Cooper at I-20, so we'll be here all the way until noon. Now, we like to talk Mavericks. We've been known to talk little Mavs, and we will do that for the next two segments. We'll take a look back at this season next on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
You told me.
how he was a radio superstar.
George said that?
And Jerry Jones' right-hand man. And in between every word, he would smoke crack and pleasure himself.
We're visiting with a deep-throat informant telling us why George missed the show this morning, what he did last night down in Oak Cliff. This is just awful.
It was so painful. He then said to me he was tired of constantly giving himself orgasms and that he wanted to find a crack whore or a goat.
Or a goat.
He was out of control.
It sounds like it.
He then bumped me on the head with a Dread Dread bobblehead doll.
Drop Page Radio.
He then bumped me on the head with a Dread Dread bobblehead doll.
Why was he carrying that?
At that point, a man? Greg Hammer arrived in a Cadillac with longhorns on the front. He deposited the sweet, dirty pants of Drub along with its contents and human beings into the back seat in the middle of Whataburger wrappers that denoted gluttony.
Grego came and picked up Jub-Jub.
Yes.
Huh.
The hammerman then told me not to say anything about this to anyone, and he stuck a gun in my mouth for emphasis. And he stuck a gun in my mouth for emphasis. They then sped off and returned 5 minutes later to run over me and my family.
Why did they come back? Why did you have your family there?
He then knocked down my ministry as well. It was so horrible, I cannot say anymore for fear of retribution.
Yeah, I can understand.
I'm sorry, I must go
now. Oh, well, thank you. No, that's okay. You've given us plenty of information. That's a deep-throat informant who didn't want to be identified for good reason, as he was there last night, and I think now we know why the Jubinator wasn't able to make it into work this morning.
We're just going to like that Monday. Hello?
Hi, is Tiger there?
Oh, hi, Beaver.
Hey, congratulations, Tiger.
Oh, thanks. Did you guys see that I won?
Yeah, we saw.
It was the Masters.
Yeah.
It's almost a major.
It is a major.
Yeah, I was inspired by the love for my pretty wife, Elin.
Oh, well, that's sweet.
Yeah, on Saturday night, she inspired me. I got home and found her in bed with a Korean and a black guy.
How did that inspire you?
Well, first I was real mad, you know, because a lot of people would consider that cheating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she said that she was just proving how racially blind she is.
Oh.
And if she can love everyone in the world, then shouldn't we all love each other?
Huh. Yeah. And you bought that, Tiger?
Well, it made some sense to me. And then she said, you know, I got a Korean and I got a black. And when you're not here, that's the closest I can get to you, Tiger.
Trapeze Radio.
I'm so successful now. Did you see how white Elin is?
Yeah.
I win another Masters. I'm going to trade Elin for an albino.
Well, I don't know. You don't want to go any whiter than your success there.
Yeah, I beat Chris DeMarco.
Yeah, congratulations.
Chris DeMarco. Is he even a golfer?
Yeah.
He's so sparry, probably couldn't even marry white.
Well, he is married to a white woman.
Yeah. See what that hack Billy Casper shot?
Yeah.
106.
Yeah.
And I'll still be winning the Masters when I'm 106. He's still shooting that.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
But I guess they say, you know, you're lucky to shoot your age.
Yeah.
He's over 100.
No, he's 73.
He barely had a heartbeat out there. Every time he shot, it looked like an epileptic
bit.
Hey, easy, on, Tiger. He's a former champion. You should respect him.
Keep moving.
Power Armada, large enough for your biggest adventures. And the all-new 2005 Pathfinder, with spacious seating for seven. Now lease the 2005 Nissan Pathfinder SE 4x2 for just $299 a month for 39 months, with $26.99 initial payment. But hurry, this exciting offer ends May 31st. Bold, powerful, tough. It's time to change the way you think about trucks with a $299 a month lease on the Nissan Pathfinder. Nissan Truck Time. Nissan. Shift perspective. Title and license extra. Call 1-800-858-8319 for lease details.
Breaking sports news now.
Texas Rangers are doing well for themselves, winning seven straight and tied for first in the AL West. Ticker brought to you by Brooke Mays Music and the Bass Pro Shop. A big reason for their recent success is because the team has belted 21 homers over the last seven wins. And shortstop Mike Young is happy the lineup is finding their groove.
The offense was never really concerned with this group of guys. I mean, we know that as the season goes on, we're going to hit. We know we're going to score runs and we're going to be productive.
This afternoon, Texas goes for win number eight as they host the White Sox in game two of a three-game weekend set. First pitch is set for 3:10. You can see that game on Fox 4. The NFL made the horse collar tackle illegal in the offseason, and Dallas safety Roy Williams knows he'll be under the microscope in 2005, but he isn't going to change the way he plays. The game, the Cowboys continue a mini-camp at Valley Ranch this weekend. And tonight at 8, the Phoenix Suns and San Antonio Spurs resume their Western Conference Final Series. The Spurs lead the Suns 2-0. However, the Phoenix Suns will have their guard Joe Johnson back in the lineup tonight since being sidelined for over 2 weeks after fracturing an orbital bone against the Mavericks in Round 2. Ticket ticker service of Barbecues Galore. The Memorial Day sale is on now at Barbecues Galore. Get huge savings on dozens of accessories and top-quality grills at every price range. Barbecues Galore, call 1-800-GRILL-UP. Our next ticket ticker coming up at 10:50, breaking sports news first guaranteed. I'm Sean Bass, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to Ben and Skin filling in for the Ranch Saturdays on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
The barbecue is on the grill, the beer is in the cooler, and The Ticket is on the radio all weekend long. Happy Memorial Day from Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Oh, yes, it's 10:34 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket, Ben and Skin at Brooke Mays in Arlington. A lot of reasons to come out and see us. Those Paul Reed Smith guitars that we were hyping up a little bit earlier, the main Big Daddy has already moved just that fast. They are very coveted instruments. Now, there are other Paul Reed Smith guitars that you can come out and pick up as well. They also have sonar drums and the Gibson Historic Reissue Les Paul's in stock, so come on out and have a big musical shindig with your boys Ben and Skin. Now, before we jump into the Mavericks, I want to give a quick shout-out to some very good folks. My wife is going to have a baby in about 6 weeks, and the good people at Ewing Auto House, where she works, thank you, impromptu crowd, the good people at Ewing Auto House, where she works, threw an impromptu shower for her yesterday and just showered us with baby gifts that we just totally didn't expect. Very nice of them. And the triple good thing about those people is that they're P1s as well. So I just want to say thank you to all those good folks for taking such sweet, sweet care of my precious wife in this, her pregnancy. Now, I also want to remind everybody that Dale Hansen is going to be at Trophy Nissan on Monday from noon to 1. Go out there and register to win ticket T-shirts and see some sexy ticket chicks like Kathleen and Serrata. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Trophy Nissan's three-day sales race is going on. Go get there now. That's going to be part of the Tickets Big Memorial Day celebration.
I used to sell cars there.
That's right, you did.
I did.
You sold thousands of cars there, did you not?
I did. I sold two cars on my first day as a summer student, as a college student that just worked there during the summer.
Now, that is the type of salesmanship that paves the way to the man that you are today.
That's exactly right.
Which is the leading man in the world.
That's right. I'm number one ranked salesperson in all of mankind.
That's awesome. Right now. That's awesome. And you owe it all to Trophy Nissan, which is where Dale is going to be. So go see him on Monday, and that is from noon to 1. Now, it's time to get into some very, very serious Mavs talk. As you know, Benny and I love to talk Mavericks, and we do it quite frequently as the host of the Mavericks postgame show and during the playoffs, the impromptu pregame show as well. And we were with them all season long. I think we both had very high expectations going into the playoffs, Benny Boy, and then they got there and they let us all down. I think we all got a, yes,
That is a actual trumpet student here playing that in honor of the Maverick season. And we'll probably have him on a little bit later to play some as well. But the interesting thing about the playoff run was the clash of the Phoenix Suns versus the Dallas Mavericks, because it reinforced a lot of questions that they had going into the season about decisions that were made and decisions that were not made. And that is what we want to focus on right here. We want to talk a little bit about what they did and what they didn't do and how we feel, you know, that affects the long-term future. And we'll probably talk a little bit about the long-term future next. But right now, let's talk about the obvious, what they didn't do. And that was they let Steve Nash walk to the Phoenix Suns this past summer. Now, when you look at that, and I think people have a tendency to think about basketball in unrealistic terms. They think about it in terms of a rotisserie league. You know, well, why don't we just sign everybody in the world? But that's not a reality. The reality of it is that there's economic ramifications.
The Mavericks are probably as close to a rotisserie league as any other team, though.
They probably are, but over the...
Cuban makes it seem like that.
He makes it seem like that. But over the course of the last 2 years, they've been a lot more financially responsible. You know, Cuban's outlined that on the station several times and on his blog about, you know, how he mandated to Donnie, look, we're going to get the payroll down. We've got to get the payroll down. And they felt like that if they had given the money to Nash that was offered to him, that that would be counterproductive to their long-term future, because I think their thought was, well, you know what, we've already had Steve Nash, and it hasn't really gotten us to where we want to go, so we want to make some changes. And that was an area where they decided that they would allow a change to happen. I don't think they wanted to get rid of Steve Nash, but the parameters didn't allow for them to keep him. Now, the question remains, was that a good idea? Should they have just gone ahead and bitten the bullet, kept Steve Nash, and not signed Dampier, not made the trade for Terry?
Well, I think there was some miscommunication going on, too. I mean, I don't think they expected Nash to get the money he got.
Oh, I know they didn't.
But at the same time, you know, Nash is sitting there worried. He's hearing, you know, Nash for Shaq trade. You know, his name is being thrown around in trade rumors, and it seems like there wasn't much communication going on there.
Right.
And it would have been nice. I mean, he maybe hit the panic button a little bit. Now, it seems like he would have wanted to stay here, but eventually the money was so out of control.
Out of control.
But if there was, you know, it seems like if the communication would have been better, you know, maybe Nash would have stayed, and maybe they could have got him for cheap.
No,
but the bottom line is, if no communication would have affected that offer, they still did. I think the Mavericks still did the right thing by not signing him to that deal.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there's no way that Cuban could have guaranteed Nash he wouldn't be traded. I mean, the only guy he can do that for is Sean Bradley. But looking at the bigger picture, Steve Nash goes on, has an MVP year, and pretty much single-handedly beat the Mavericks in the playoffs. Did he not?
Yeah.
Did that make you waver at all in your thought process about what the Mavericks did and are going to be able to do?
I'd be lying if I said it didn't. I mean, you watch a guy go out there and, you know, throw up with 35 points and a half or whatever, and then you see him go for triple doubles and just completely dominate it. You have to think about it a little bit, but still, it's a business decision, and the bottom line is the business issue of the size of that contract made it impossible for the Mavericks to sign him. I'm sick of watching Michael Finley play at this point in his career, where he's completely beaten down and a different player. It would have been the same thing. You'd have Nash and Finley both making ridiculous money. So you got to look big picture down the road. But I'd be lying if I said I wouldn't rather have had him than Jason Terry.
Sure, man. And I think it's all fantasy talk when you say, no. It's just a basketball decision. They made the wrong basketball decision. Well, if that decision affects what other basketball decisions you can make, then it's wrong. You know, what I'm really interested to see is what happens to the Phoenix Suns now, with Amari Stoudemire and Joe Johnson both on rookie contracts expecting to get max out money. I mean, if they decide to keep those guys, guess what? That's their team. That is their team, what they have right now. You know, Stephen Hunter is a guy who's going to be a free agent, and he's somebody that they need to integrate into their team if they expect to go further. He's going to want more money. You've already got Nash close to maxed out. You have Sean Marion maxed out. You're going to max out Joe Johnson. You're going to max out Amari Stoudemire. That situation that the Suns are going to have to deal with is what the Mavericks decided not to deal with. And they still have their options open, and they still have a chance to get better. Now, let's talk about where the loss of Steve Nash hurt them. Offense. How many times were you frustrated this year by their inability to score in the half-court offense? And with all this talk about defense, when you look at, like, look at the San Antonio series right now. San Antonio is not stopping Phoenix, quote-unquote stopping them. They're still putting up a bunch of points. Now, they're making it a little bit more difficult for them in the fourth quarter. But if you look at what the Spurs have done in the fourth quarter of both those two games, they've scored just about every time they've had the ball.
70%.
Yeah, they've scored. And then also we talked about going into that, into the Phoenix series, what do the Mavericks have to do to beat Phoenix? Well, we talked about you have to go at Steve Nash offensively. The Mavericks did that in one game. They did it in Game 6, and Jason Terry had an excellent offensive game. That was the only game where he attacked Steve Nash offensively. Tony Parker is averaging 26.5 points on 59% shooting. He's scoring whenever he wants to.
Well, I checked out. I'm such a homer. Mavericks are done. I'm done with the NBA this year. So I haven't been watching. But have the Spurs put Nash on his back yet, or are they just allowing him to shoot layups at will?
Well, no, what they're doing is they're waiting until the fourth quarter, and they're double-teaming him and trying to crowd him in the lane. Shout out to that drum solo that's going on in our ear right now. But they're jumping the pick in the fourth quarter more aggressively and trying to limit his opportunities to score. But the thing about San Antonio's not only doing that, they're also closing off those easy passing lanes. I mean, Stoudemire is still getting his, but because of the competent defenders that they have inside, whether it be Nazi Muhammad, Tim Duncan, or whoever, they're not leaving Sean Marion, they're not leaving Quentin Richardson, and they're not paying the price the way the Mavericks did with Nash and Stoudemire just killing him inside late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So having said all that, though, I still think the Mavericks win the series if they were better offensively. I think the majority of their problems during that series was not the inability to score against a team that absolutely can't get stopped. I mean, Phoenix has demonstrated that in both of these games at home. They could never stop San Antonio in the fourth quarter. At one point, Ginobili goes behind his back and shoots a reverse layup in traffic. It's silly. It's absolutely silly. They have no chance of stopping him. Why couldn't the Mavericks have been able, the third leading scoring team in the NBA, be able to execute against a poor defensive team? Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, that's because Jason Terry's not a true point guard. Yes, he's not a true point guard, but Terry could have absolutely lit up Nash if they had allowed that to happen. The Mavericks, what we saw in the playoffs, was they were a team in transition offensively. They didn't know what they wanted to do offensively, and I think, you know, you're going to see more changes next year as they move more towards, you know, reversing the ball, not just having straight isolation, and then, you know, if Terry's going to be the point guard, then Avery Johnson has indicated that on Norm's show, then he's going to have to attack the basket and not be tentative, because that's what he's going to be able to thrive in. He's not going to be able to just, I'm going to get down here and make these passes. That's not what he does well. He's got to be aggressive and attack the basket, and he will create opportunities for the players based on that.
Right.
And that was their number one failure during the playoffs, in my opinion.
And that's what they did this year. I mean, they had 9 new players. They completely overhauled the roster. They had a coaching change, yet they still won 58 games, but I can't help but have a sour taste, the bitter taste of bitterness in my mouth, because I still feel like the Mavericks are a better team than Phoenix. I feel like Shaq, you know, being out of the West, this was a real opportunity for them to take advantage of this situation. But, you know, you pointed out Dirk yelling at Dant, yelling at Terry. Maybe, you know, those are the two guys that are most tied to the Mavs, letting Nash go because that's what they decided to do with their money. Maybe he's really yelling at Cuban when he's yelling at those guys.
I'm
talking about how smart Nash is and how, you know, the basketball IQ, you know, because talking about how smart Nash was, and there goes the IQ when Nash left.
Was there a low front office IQ? Is he saying there's low front office IQ in letting a guy that smart?
We are joined by
Ward White.
Great Ward White, and I had a feeling that maybe you pop out to the Fort Worth surrounding areas, you might run into some greatness in Ward White, clearly the best entertainment attorney in the world. By the way, don't worry, this doesn't mean I'm suing you.
Okay.
Because my attorney's here.
Right. No problem.
Kind of intimidate you a little bit, but he brought some Krispy Kremes out. You run a class operation, Mr. Ward White.
We can always expect you in the 817, correct? Yes, he says correct. Hey, thank you for these Krispy Kremes, man. That's classy.
Well, coming up next, I will attempt to set the new Krispy Kreme indoor donut record. And we will possibly continue to talk Dallas Mavericks basketball because we've talked about what happened this year. Coming up next, we're going to talk about what's going to happen next year. I'm going to throw some crazy trade scenario questions at Skin.
Awesome.
It's one of the best things about kicking it with Skin. You can just throw things up, and he'll let you know if it's the likelihood of it happening.
I'm looking forward to this.
Create some rumors that we can have Norm say on his show that are actual rumors that are going on. So coming up next, more Mavs talk. We'll take a look towards next season, right?
Hey, did you see what that hack Phil Mickelson shot yesterday?
Yeah, he didn't play very well.
74, I think.
Yeah. Phil has a gambling problem.
Oh,
whoa,
that's quite an accusation, Tiger.
What's that?
He's addicted to gambling.
Whoa. Oh, man.
Yeah. But I will say this, he's a man of his word.
How's that?
Well, he bet me that if I won more than one Masters, he would get breast implants. And he did that years ago.
Yeah, sure enough.
He always say to him, hey, Phil, you nurse your kids off those things?
No wonder you guys have a cool relationship.
Yeah, we have a good relationship. On Saturday I say, hey, Phil, you hook up a pump hose to those things and spray your milk all over Indian camps feeding Indian children like baby birds?
That's really weird, Tiger.
We're good like that.
That's really weird.
Hey, VJ stinks like everyone else from India.
First of all, he's not from India. He's from Fiji.
Now, well, VJ needs to understand there's only room for one minority on this tour. There's only room for one minority on this tour.
Oh, my gosh.
And that minority's name is Tiger.
There's room for everybody.
And that's my name.
Right.
So I'm the only one to be on there.
Right.
He's sick.
Your dad?
Yeah. He's sick, and it makes me upset.
We saw you get emotional on the 18th green.
He caught AIDS off of some transvestite in Duluth.
No, actually.
No,
he's very sick. And he went to the doctor, and they found a side of beef in his ventricle. And so they had to carve that out.
Oh, no.
He hasn't been the same since my mommy was killed in Vietnam.
Your mom is still alive, and she was there yesterday.
Oh, she is?
Yep.
Oh, happy day. That's good news. This is the greatest day of my life. Four Masters, George.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, you could barely qualify to even play at Ventry or somewhere.
Radio. Drop Page Radio.
Hi, Gabby.
Joining us now is a media member that says he wants to participate in the next Ticket Guys Night Out in the ring. Who is this?
Good morning, this is Dale Anthony.
Hey, it's Dale. Yeah. Hey. Well, you're a big
fight
guy.
Night,
huh? Yeah, you'd be fight good in the ring.
We came up with an idea like Fight Night. But David Kelly's idea? He's a genius.
No, he doesn't come up with everything.
He's a genius on everything else. Yeah. I was listening to that last night. You guys are unbelievable. Fighting on the radio. On the radio.
Yep.
It's like, oh, my God, my God, my God, my God.
So we can get you into the ring?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I'm a natural for this because I got so many enemies in town, you know. I mean, I got some people who want to fight me.
Right. Well, who would you like to take on?
Well, that idiot Cuban.
Okay, we might be able to arrange that.
He spent his whole time complaining about the rats.
Again, it's time for DirecTV. It's no wonder that in just one.
I tell you, how about Hitchkiss? I'd fight Hitchkiss.
Would you really?
Money I've lost because of Hitchkiss over the years.
You'd fight Norm.
Plus, he robs me of all my valuable airtime because of his stupid-ass quick hits during crosstalk.
Well, I tell you what, joining us now on the other ticket hotline is the double fake Norm, and he says that he would be willing to take you on.
Craig, I'm just sitting here listening to Dale talk about fighting me.
Yeah.
Dale, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm going to kick your ass.
In 5 seconds.
I would kick your ass.
Well, you know, Craig, as long as I don't lead with my nose, I'll be all right.
True.
I tell you what, you might as well box because you're beating the hell out of everyone with your dad joke.
Trophy Armada or Titan King Cab, your choice. And drive off in a new 05 Altima at no extra cost. You won't see this offer again. Two new Nissans, one low price. Call 1-866-YES-NISSAN, 1-866-YES-NISSAN. Visit TrophyNissan.com or CRN, the Dallas Morning News for details. This Memorial Weekend, remember who's offering 2-for-1. Trophy Nissan. 635 in Galloway and Mesquite. The Memorial Day sales race, 2-for-1, ends 9 p.m. Monday night. Only at
Trophy Nissan.
This is too much for one weekend.
Sports news first, guaranteed.
The Cowboys are getting to know their new quarterback this weekend at Valley Ranch. Sticker brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. Cowboy fans expect the offense to be better under Drew Bledsoe and Dallas Pro Bowl tight end Jason Witten. is looking forward to catching passes from Drew.
And I think he's a great leader for this football team. He's a vocal guy. He's been around, so he has a lot of experience. But, you know, I think the biggest thing I like about him is he's consistent. He works hard, and he's got a great arm on him. So I'm excited to see what we can do against the defense.
The team continues their mini camp this weekend at Valley Ranch. The Phoenix Suns trail the San Antonio Spurs 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Despite leading the series, Spurs coach Greg Popovich wants to slow down Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire.
They're making Stockton and Lillard look like, you know, Laurel and Hardy out there. These two guys are just scoring at will, and we're supposed to be a pretty good defensive club, and they're carving us up.
Game 3 tips off tonight at the SBC Center at 8 o'clock, and in golf at the FedEx St. Jude Classic, third-round play is underway. Dallas native Justin Leonard is your leader at 13-under after two rounds. He's 5 shots up on Frederick Jakobsen, who's 8-under. The leaders tee off today in the noon hour. Our next ticket ticker coming up at 11:10. Breaking sports news first guaranteed. I'm Sean Bass, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to Ben and Skin filling in for The Rant. 10 to noon on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Hey, guys, did you know that the average washing machine holds 2 bags of ice and 24 cans of beer? See, it's not a worthless appliance after all.
10:52 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
What?
Yeah, I think it is 10:52 on Sports Radio 1310.
Are we on the air? What are you looking at me like that for, Chuck?
Oh.
Don't ever let Chuck shoot your wheels off, because he'll try and do it every time.
Interesting. 10:52 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Ben and Skin, we're at Brook Mays in Arlington. We invite you to come join us out here, and we just had a wonderful gift. The great Ward White and Mike Young, the
Kingfish.
That's right. Came out, brought us some donuts from Krispy Kreme.
I love the 817, dude. Man. I love the 817.
Do we get more love in the 817?
We get more love in the 817.
I've had love in 972, but
what kind of love did
I paid for it.
Oh no!
But you know, we're getting some love out here in the 817, mm-hmm. and Brooke Mays has given us some love. They've hooked up my laptop, so I'm now in business. The traffic is starting to flow out here. There's a lot of people out here taking advantage of the great sale going on out here. It's a Clarence event. Make no mistake about it.
Now, who's
it is
Clarence?
An event.
Who is Clarence?
He's a guy that's selling some guitars. No, I don't know.
Oh.
So we've talked to you about some of the great deals they have going on out here. Paul Reed Smith guitars are on sale.
Hey,
that's,
Paul.
That's very rare for that to happen.
Good to see you, Paul.
Stoner drums now carried at this location. Gibson historic reissue Les Pauls in stock. So come out and join us. We are at Brook Mays in Arlington at Cooper and I-20.
Hey, can I bog you with a musical factoid?
No.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay, good. I can do it now. Les Paul, known for his guitar, also the first guy to multi-track. So all the music that you love now, it all came from Les Paul's vision of multi-tracking. So take that information and come buy music gear right now.
Unknown fact, cousin of Prince Paul.
Yes, yes.
I didn't know that.
Great De La Soul producer.
Well, we've talked about the Mavs season. We've taken a look back, and we've tried to contain it in one segment, but really we could go for hours. Now we're going to try to take a look forward and discuss what the Mavericks need to do in this coming season.
This makes me happy. I'm happy
about
this.
Well, first of all, Skin, there's some things. Individual players need to perform in a lot of different ways. They need to get better. Their weaknesses were really highlighted in the postseason. First of all, I like the fact that Dirk is more vocal, and he's not a robotic German anymore, but he needs to, as we indicated earlier, he's got to figure out a way how to channel that. So he's got to calm his Dirk self down a little bit, learn how to channel that, and be a better leader. He needs to work on his leadership skills. Maybe he needs to go to a seminar. But he also needs to work on his low post moves and his defense. I thought that his defense is clearly, you know, he's going to be on the court more than any other Maverick. So the level of defense that he plays, to a large part, is going to mean how good of a defensive team the Mavericks are.
No, I think you're right. And I think the type of defense that really disappointed me, it's so ironic that he's calling out everybody's basketball IQ, because I thought it was his help defense that was so bad. Earlier in the year, I thought, man, he has made some real strides there. I thought his you know, a lot of what you do on help defense is anticipation and understanding what the other team is going to do and being in the right spot at the right time. And I thought he was doing a good job with that. And as the season wore on, and especially in the playoffs, I thought he was terrible with that. But the number one thing, the first thing you said, the low post, he's got to get more comfortable with his back to the basket.
Yeah, he's been exposed, hasn't he?
Sure, no doubt about it. Now, I was impressed with how he approached Sean Marion better than McGrady, but I think the reason is because Marion was playing him so differently. Marion was not pushing on him. What have we seen? Even on switches, Dirk will let a guy, if a guy just touches his back, he takes that as, oh, I can't be here, and goes further away from the basket.
a lot of times he's catching the ball with his back to the basket 16 feet away. Well, what are you going to do with that? Mm-hmm. Except maybe shoot a bad turnaround jumper. That doesn't do you any good. He's got to get used to getting down on the block and rooting down there, especially if he's going to have smaller guys on him, and then getting positioned and going from there.
It starts with Dirk. Dirk's got to get better this offseason. He always has those strange workout programs with his mentor, Holden Gerschwilder. So hopefully they'll be doing some strange stuff this offseason, and Dirk will get better. Next year, the Finley Stack situation. I think those guys need to flip-flop. Finley came out, was talking about, hey, you know, I had this ankle injury 5 games into the season. That's why I sucked, you guys.
My tear duct so swelled up when I heard
that. I couldn't afford to go ahead and have that surgery 5 games in because we were so depleted. Now, true, they had some other injuries, but that's like the deepest area on the team. And there's no doubt that this team was going to the postseason. So having said that, the postseason is more important than anything.
Yeah,
so,
if that was the case, then he should have had that surgery around January. I mean, I know it takes time to recover, but was the idea that then they got everybody back and him continuing to play at a lower level was going to be for the good of the team? That didn't really make any kind of sense to me.
You know, Finley, even the one-dimensional aspect of his game, the way his game's broken down to just perimeter shooting, it's helpful, but it's not starter-worthy. And I think Stackhouse, although he shot a low percentage in the playoffs, I just think he brings a grittiness to the team. You talk about the soft white guys or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's no softness or whiteness in Jerry Stackhouse.
No, very true. And you know what's interesting about Finley going to the bench is there's been a very fascinating precedent set here in Dallas the last 2 seasons with career starters and Antoine Jameson and Jerry Stackhouse, both in the prime of their careers, agreeing to come off the bench. Why couldn't Finley agree to come off the bench on the downside of his career? What is that going to say about him when two guys who historically have been perceived as selfish and Stackhouse and Jameson agreed to do it?
Looking forward to next season, the Mavericks obviously have some issues at point guard. They're not the same team they were offensively with Steve Nash distributing the ball, getting players involved. Dirk has to create his own shots nowadays. Everybody on this team does, which is why Stackhouse obviously is more impressive because he can create his own shot way better than Finley.
Uh-huh.
But looking at the point guard position, you know, you've said it best. The Mavericks aren't going to really be the team that they can be until Devin Harris is ready to start. He's got to expedite his career growth process because to me, he looked terrible the whole offseason. He looked like overwhelmed, just doing silly things for a smart player because I know he is,
mm-hmm.
but just trying to cross over on Mike James with Mike James in his face. I mean, you can't do that.
No, he got completely shook and the Mavericks went away from him. I still kind of think that if they had put him out there in the Phoenix series, things would have gone differently for him because Phoenix doesn't put pressure defense, and I think he could have helped some things because, you know, he's a guy that will attack and he's quick. But, you know, I don't think that if I'm looking at the mistakes that the Mavericks coaching staff made in the playoffs, I don't think that that's necessarily one of them. I don't want to, like, throw my weight behind that, but there was some good talk this week on the ticket with the Musers and Norm talking about, you know, Devin Harris, how come he couldn't, you know, contribute anymore this year. I still have really high hopes for Devin Harris. I still think he's got all the tools to be a Kevin Johnson type point guard, and I actually have confidence that he will be that type of guy. It would have better I think the Mavericks, again, there was so much uncertainty in trying to figure out what kind of team they were. They didn't expect to have 58 wins. They expected this to be a transition year, and when they played ahead of where they were, you know, in the whole process of the thing, I think they accelerated things at the expense of not getting a guy like Devin Harris more time. Or you know, if you thought enough of him to be your future point guard to use the number 5 pick in the draft, I would have liked to have seen them get him in more situations where he could have gotten more familiar. But now, with the lockout may or may not happening, it could be a wasted summer for him and Daniels and a lot of guys.
I don't want to see Jason Terry starting. I love Jet. He's a great player, but he's just not good for the overall flow of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Bobby Jackson comparison when, you know, coming off the bench for Sacramento
mm-hmm.
and just tearing up teams. You saw him do it to the Mavericks. He could just heat up like the microwave and get going really quickly. I'd love to see that. But Devin Harris, I agree with you. I think he's going to be really good, but they need him to step up
right.
and bring Terry off the bench.
I agree.
Don't know if they're going to be ready for that next season.
Hey, well, Avery says they're not. Avery says, hey, I don't even want to talk about that. Jason Terry's my guy. We hope Devin Harris gets better enough to be our full-time backup.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that shakes out.
For Howard and Daniels, I think Howard is the second-best player on the Mavericks.
Love him, man.
And for him, I would say the one thing he needs to work on is his perimeter game
mm-hmm.
because defenses are allowing him wide-open threes, wide-open jump shots. If he can start to build that portion of his game, if he can just be a decent three-point shooter, well, he could eventually be an all-star in this league.
Yeah, and I think at this point he's a good streaky shooter. He'll get on tears where he knocks those shots down, but it's feast or famine with him from the outside. And his mechanics are kind of weird. Maybe it's because he's got such long arms. But I think he can develop into a reliable, you know, he doesn't need to make threes. He needs to make 17 to 18 footers. But I think he can grow into that. I definitely agree with you that he has the potential to be the second best player on the team. I think another thing I'd like to see him work on is you were talking about Dirk earlier channeling his energies. I think Josh Howard's the same type of guy that he plays right on that edge. Sometimes it helps. Or like you got Amari Stoudemire mad, and I believe that was game three, or was it game four? And then sometimes it hurts where he punches the ball into the stands and gets an inopportune tee. He's got to channel those energies a little bit better, but that comes with growing as a player and being more mature.
Marquise Daniels, also a guy that needs to develop his jump shot. I'd like to also see him work on his handles. I don't know if it's too late to really develop your handles when you're already at this level, but you know, some people think it is. You can't, you know, you are what you are at this point fundamentally in ways like dribbling. But if he can, he needs to develop his handles because they need to, you know, he's a better passer than Jet. No question about it. And I just don't know if he can bring the rock up. But he's got to develop some jump shot skills.
Oh, yeah. His shot is, his outside shot is terrible. And I think, you know, the thing about his passing, I think he has a good instinct for passing. He just is, the chances that he takes are bad chances. You know, that, and again, that comes with playing time and growing as a player. But for every great pass he makes a terrible pass. And I really do think that'll just come with maturity. I think as far as handles go, he's got good ball handling skills for a two, just not for a one.
Right.
And it's going to be figuring out what exactly is he and how are they going to use him. But I mean, I'm not ready to write off Marquise Daniels. I saw enough of what he could do his rookie year to realize this was a freak year for him. He had everything that could go wrong. I think he'll rebound fine.
I agree. And then finally, Damp. He needs to have off-season surgery. Do you know the surgery I'm talking about?
I want to hear you say it, but I think I know the surgery you're talking about.
He needs
about.
To have LaFleur's hand surgically removed
right.
from his body.
It was such a controversial surgery in the first place to have him added.
It's amazing the way Aikman is distanced from him, too. He's
from
like,
there?
Hey, I didn't work him out. I don't know what
right.
all these rumors are about. I don't know.
Right. I wasn't in Golden State. I'm Troy Aikman.
All he needs to do is work on his hands. He drops so many balls. It's like...
What?
It's ridiculous, man. The guy has got the worst hands I've ever seen.
Yeah, by the way, Rick Barry is Eric Dampier's Troy Aikman. Rick Barry will vouch for him every time he's on Bad Radio. Look for that, noon to 3.
All right, so, again, looking forward, the Mavericks, you know, obviously we've heard a lot of talk about the way the game is changing somewhat in the West. Now Shaq's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Will teams go with more athletic centers? Is the big man, is that era gone? Or will there, you know, it's not like there's been that many of them anyways.
Right.
But... did the Mavericks screw the pooch by going to Dampier, this big style center, and things like that? I don't know. I still love having a big center. I love
right.
the way they play traditional basketball when he's in. I think they're better. But there's no doubt about it. They need another athletic big man.
Yeah, and not. I mean, athletic, yeah, that'd be great to have a big athletic big man, but I'm more concerned with the size big man. I mean, if you look, who's the best team in the league? I think it's San Antonio.
Yep.
If not them, Detroit. I love Detroit. But San Antonio, you know, they added Nazi Muhammad. He's not an athletic big man, and Nazi Muhammad's playing very well against Phoenix. I mean, for all this talk about this, you know, the new NBA, that's all fine and good, but, you know, okay, let's talk about Stoudemire. Well, what would happen if Phoenix played Miami? Stoudemire going to stop Shaq? Don't think so. It's
right.
not going to happen. You can, if you want to go towards, you know, moving towards a smaller type basketball, that's going to be fine and good until the finals or the Eastern or Western Conference Finals, and then you're not going to get it done. If everybody in the league had a smaller guy, then that's one thing. But you're not going to get past the teams that do have size, competent size inside. If I'm the Mavericks, I like Dampier. If you looked at their playoff stretch, they were way better with Dampier on the floor than when he wasn't on the floor. But then it comes up, well, he's a failure because he can't stay on the floor. What I would do is I would try and target another guy like Dampier so you can have that presence all the time. That's what San Antonio did when the Nesterovich let them down. They went and got Nazi Muhammad.
Yep. All right, it's 11:05 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to Ben and Skin. We're out at Brook Mays. We'd like to invite you to come join us out here. We are not through talking Mavericks. I say let's carry it over.
Cool.
Talk a little Mavs. Let's get into some of the rumors that are out there, whether they're ridiculous fan-based rumors or not. We'll address those. And then let's talk about what you would do if you were the GM of the Mavericks this offseason. Who are the players you'd target or even the types of players? We'll get into that next on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. But we invite you to come join us. It's raining out here, but that's no excuse to come out here and get savings. I mean, this is a clearance sale at Brook Mays, and you're not going to find deals like this very often. And it's pretty stunning just viewing, looking around in here. The scenery is gorgeous. They've got some kid over here was playing on a $44,000 grand piano, and sounded pretty good.
Yeah, he sounded $44,000 worth of playing.
So if you're the type of person who likes to fake play on a piano, come up here and get on a $44,000 unit and just see how it happens for you. So come join us out here. There's great deals to be had. Ticket Chicks are out here. You can register to win ticket T-shirts, Good times to be had at Brook Mays in Arlington, but coming up next, more Mavs talk and a little bit of Radio Pork right here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, North Texas.
I tell you what, and this is, you can ask me to put this in quick. I would use my fancy footwork to dance around the ring, and I'm going to call it pole dancing.
I don't think anybody.
Hey, let me ask you. Who doesn't want to fight Hitchkins at this point? I would say a lot of the people who win money off of me at Lone Star Park. I want to see me alive. Are we even in the same weight class, Theo? Well, I've lost a little bit of weight, your body's not looking very good, Norm. No, I understand. But see, this is my point, Craig. And by the way, I work out a little bit, Norman. You don't work out.
Radio.
Dale has been the 500-pound gorilla in this market for 20 years. I weigh nowhere near 500 pounds.
I am a gorilla. I am the 500-pound gorilla of this town. You can just ask Scott Murray that.
I can't do worse than the Rangers middle relievers, can I?
Pretty obvious joke there, Norm, but yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
I tell you, if I had to fight, understand?
Yeah.
If I had to fight someone in the media, media family, I think I'd rather fight David Robinson also.
Really?
Because if he punches straight ahead, every shot would be below the belt.
Hey, good morning, man.
Jerry. Hey, it's the Dunham & Miller Show. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Well, I wonder if we could talk a little draft with you.
Absolutely. This is going to be a kick-ass draft for us. You don't believe me, George?
No, I believe you.
You want to challenge me, George? I'll draft you. I'll put you to work in a whorehouse.
Whoa.
A lot of guys like that. Put him out years.
What an odd threat.
I'm just teasing.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, we are certainly looking forward to it. Jerry Jr. has been getting the war room ready for us.
Really?
I told him he could stock it with whatever he likes, so he's put a lot of punch in there and cookies and balloons. He bought a big SpongeBob cake. He gets a big kick out of that.
Drop Page Radio.
By the way, I have an announcement to make in advance of the draft. I have changed my title. It used to be owner and GM, and now I've changed it to Pope, owner and GM.
Pope?
Yeah, because you seem to get a lot of media play when you name Pope. So we have named one, but the papers haven't really picked up on it.
Yeah, I can understand.
You're giving us the story.
Hey, what do you get when you cross Pope with a Hitler youth?
What?
My Joseph Ratzinger. He does that.
Yeah, well,
that's just a fact.
I thought you may have been going somewhere else. But
hey, you want me to tell you something that I have, I know there's been a lot of speculation and procrastination about this draft.
Right.
You want me to tell you something that I've never told any reporter?
What? Sure.
I killed a girl in 73 and buried her next to a power plant.
Why would you say something like that?
No, I'm teasing, but I'm not. What? Hey, you, who said that? Maybe, hey, you, man.
Drop Page Radio.
Well, Jerry Jones with us here on The Ticket, so what are your plans for tomorrow's first round? Can you give us any insight?
Well, I will tell you this. Every time I defer to a coach or a scout, I always get burned in these draft things. So I'm going to go on pure intuition.
Intuition.
Intuition. And my gut tells me to draft Alex Smith.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately, my gut tells me to start him at defensive line, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, even if he falls down that far, he's not going to have a good NFL career.
No, he's not a defensive line.
Yeah. But no, seriously, in all honesty, I think I'm going to probably go ahead and draft Troy Aikman again.
You can't do that.
It worked for us in the past. It'll work again. I think he'll jump at the chance. But someone told me he's selling cars now, so he obviously is not doing too well.
Well, I think he's doing fine.
He owns the dealership.
But my Rugby Radio.
Yeah.
Don't you need to talk to a manager or something?
Nope, we're all set.
Could you just pretend?
Oh, I get it. Okay. Jen!
It's okay.
She says it's okay.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Get everything you want at Kia. Right now, get $1,750 cash back plus $750 owner loyalty bonus for qualified buyers on an 05 Spectra. Visit your local Dallas-Fort Worth Kia retailer.
Cash back from Kia Motors America. Amount varies from $1,750 based on model selected. Loyalty bonus available to current Kia owners to purchase a new 2005 Spectra. Must take delivery from retail stock by 5/31/05. See retailer for limited powertrain warranty and extended details. Go to Kia.com.
When we say sports, you say now.
The Texas Rangers look to make it 8 in a row this afternoon at the ballpark. Sticker brought to you by the Bass Pro Shops. Texas took game 1-3 against the White Sox last night, 6-2. Today, Chanho Park looks to give his team another strong outing as he faces Chicago's John Garland, who is 8-1 on the year. First pitch goes down just after 3. You can see that game on Fox 4. The Dallas Cowboys are hard at work in Valley Ranch this weekend for a full-team mini-camp. Big Bill's keeping his eye out for players that have shown improvement in the offseason.
Peterman, Polite. There are a lot of young players that the second time through, the Kalen Thorntons and those kids, this is the year they really make a lot of improvement. They're just way further down the road than what they were.
And at the Big 12 baseball tournament in Oklahoma City, the Texas Longhorns have a 2-1 lead over Baylor in the semifinals. That game is in the bottom of the fourth. Our next ticket ticker coming up at 11:30, breaking sports news first guaranteed. I'm Sean Bass, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to Ben and Skin filling in for the Rant. Saturdays 10 to noon on Sports Radio 1310, the ticket.
The Ticket's Texas Rangers postgame show, Diamond Talk, immediately following every weeknight Rangers home game. Live from Humperdinck's in Arlington, brought to you by Miracle Mortgage and Sports Radio 1310, the ticket.
11:13 on Sports Radio 1310, the ticket. I will not look at Chuck right now under any circumstances because he will try to shoot the wheels off.
Wait, Ben, look at Chuck.
Oh, I think everything's fine.
Oh, good.
He was looking at me like something was wrong when we came out of that last break, though. Something was terribly wrong. I didn't know we were on the air.
Why was he licking his lips when he was looking at you?
Well, because we've got some chemistry.
I thought it was because you had Krispy Kreme all over your face.
That's true. Another shout-out to Ward White bringing out the Krispy Kremes, man. That was a touch of class.
That is a touch of class.
All right. You are listening to Ben and Skin. We are subbing in for the Rant, as we do on the last Saturday of each calendar month. We're at Brook Mays Music today, and we invite you to come join us out here. We'll be here for another 45 minutes, but the deals will go on for the entire day. Skin, I saw you back there looking at the Paul Reed Smith guitars. Mm-hmm. You look pretty impressed.
Yeah, I was very impressed. I was impressed with the way I looked holding it.
You know what? There's a mark that. Sonar drums now carried at this location. Gibson historic reissue Les Pauls in stock. Clarence drum sets from Tama?
Sure.
Pearl? And Pacific.
The big three.
So come out here and join us, and if you bring us donuts, we'll really like you even more.
Yeah.
Especially if they're from Krispy Kreme.
That's most enticing.
All right, so coming up next, we've got a little bit of Radio Pork we might get into. We might talk a little Star Wars, but we're still talking Mavs. If you want to jump on with us, 214-787-1310 is the number to dial. But Skin, all right, we've talked about, we've looked back, we've looked forward. Now let's talk about some of the trade rumors that are out there right now.
Would that be looking back forward if we do this?
Let's look sideways.
Okay.
It seems like the Fan is throwing out the Kevin Garnett trade. First of all, let's just address that. Is there any possibility that there any combination of players, including Dirk, could be traded to Minnesota to acquire Kevin Garnett, or is that absurd?
I just don't really understand why Minnesota would do that.
Well, they've got a GM who likes tall, blonde, white guys who shoot threes.
But Larry Bird was a complete player.
Oh.
I mean, he could do everything.
That's all I had.
Okay. Here's a good example. How did the Lakers do with trading Shaq? I mean, I'm not saying Kevin Garnett is Shaq, but it's just
superstars.
Very rare
that you can trade a superstar and get something back in return that's going to make you any better. And one of the things I keep hearing is people say, well, you can package him and Sam Cassell. Do you want an aging point guard with a bad back? And Latrell Sprewell, who's not even under contract anymore. I don't know where people are getting that. You can send them Josh Howe. I mean, so you're going to trade the Mavericks for the Timberwolves? Is that what the plan? I don't understand it. And I don't see how anybody would trade Kevin Garnett unless they were just getting blown away with something. And I don't know that it makes sense for the Mavericks to give Minnesota everything they have for Kevin Garnett. Why would that make sense? I just think it's just fantasy talk because people look at Kevin Garnett and they see that, you know, he's had 1 year where he got past the first round of the playoffs. They got to the Western Conference Finals. Really, they should have gone to the championship, but Sam Cassell got hurt. So Sam Cassell, an old guy who gets hurt, is who you're also adding in that trade. That's silly. But, you know, they're not going to be able to get – I mean, Dirk is nowhere near as good as Kevin Garnett, in my opinion. He's a much better scorer than Kevin Garnett, but Kevin Garnett does everything else better than Dirk. And I just don't understand why, you know, that would make sense for Minnesota to even encounter in those kind of talks. So to me, it's like fan-driven fantasy talk that there's nothing really – substantial there. All right. It doesn't make sense to me.
So before we get to the exceptions, are there any other trade rumors out there that might have some legs, and or are there trade scenarios that you thought up in your skin brain that might work?
Yeah, I've thought of, well, I think really the thing that, as opposed to specific scenarios, I'm trying to think of, okay, what do the Mavericks have that they can realistically move? In other words, what has value to other teams? Because I think a lot of times when fans of teams start concocting trade scenarios, you're always going to create a failed trade when you think about what you want for your team. You've got to be realistic and think about the team that you're going to be trading with. What would be worth it to them? That's what I always start focusing on. And if the guys on the Mavericks, obviously Dirk has value, but it's very rare that you can trade a player like him and get equal value back. The other guys that I think have value are, one, Keith Van Horn, because he's in the last year of his contract. We have to kind of wait and see what how the labor agreement's going to shake out to see how much value that last year has, but guys looking to decrease payroll, that's always going to be valuable, and I think he's going to be making around $14 or $15 million this year. But Keith Van Horn, it's not like, you know, trading for Allen Houston. He's a guy that can at least give you something. Number two, and I think this is the most valuable commodity the Mavericks have right now, a reasonable valuable commodity, that's Jerry Stackhouse, because I think he used this year to re-entrench himself with knowing, because he had 2 years marred by injuries. It didn't go well for him. And I think people realize now he's still an elite-level scorer, and he's got 2 years left on his deal, where if you have a guy that's scoring 20 a game, then he's worth the $8 million that Jerry Stackhouse is getting paid.
But how can they give him up? He means so much to what they do now. I mean, he's so important.
No, I think that's a good question. Let me tell you, if Marquise Daniels is not capable of giving you quality minutes in Jerry Stackhouse's place, then you got big problems with Marquise Daniels. You sign him. He needs to be a big part of your future, and if he can't contribute for you, then that's a huge oversight that they've made in thinking that this young guy who plays the same position as Jerry Stackhouse, and as they've signed for, I think he's got 6 years left after this, that's a problem, man. He needs to be able to contribute. I'm not saying he needs to score 20 points a game the way Jerry Stackhouse does, but he needs to be a big contributor at that 2/3 spot, and if he's not, they got problems. So ideally, Stackhouse should be expendable, not because of Finley, but because of Marquise Daniels.
Interesting. So we might see whether or not they really do believe in Marquise. You know, it's been said that, you know, different guys within the organization champion different players. It's the same thing in any corporate company, you know. But
can I say something too about that? What's interesting is Jerry Stackhouse. I'm not saying the Mavericks should trade these guys. I'm telling you these are actual commodities that have trade value. I don't have a problem with Jerry Stackhouse. I love him, and you just brought up the guys in the company like. Avery Johnson loves Jerry Stackhouse.
And I don't think he loves Marquise.
Yeah, I don't think he loves Marquise either. I mean, that's something that you got to consider.
Could you not trade Marquise?
I think the value's pretty low right now.
Yeah.
I think the value's pretty low. And that's evident by, you know, I don't know how it went down exactly, but it didn't seem like Marquise got other offers. Mavericks got him signed really quick, but it didn't seem like they were bidding against anybody. I'm not sure who else was showing that kind of interest in him.
Crazy that Scott Boras was representing him.
Yeah, I know. It's such a weird departure. But he's a part of – he needs to be a part of the plans, and I think that if he can play like I think some of us still think he can, then that makes Jerry Stackhouse a little more expendable because he is valuable. Stackhouse is valuable.
So if you think that Marquise can play, then you could go ahead and trade Stack and you could trade Van Horn. What type of players can you get back?
Well, I think you know, there's any number of a type of player that you can get back, but I think you need to target a specific type of player. And to me, that would be another big, reliable body. One of the guys that I was thinking is a feasible type guy to grab is Jamal McGlory, New Orleans. And here's
I
love his game too.
Why did they let go of him?
Because New Orleans is a bad team, and they have a guy there with a bad disposition who doesn't want to be there. They had two other guys that were there last year just like that. One was Baron Davis, who they traded to Golden State. Now Golden State has a chance to be a playoff team next year. I mean, Golden State, so they look like a really good team by getting Baron Davis. The other is Jimmy Jackson, who would never report. Those guys didn't want to be there. They were able to move them on. Both of those situations worked out well for those guys. There was a lot of talk last year that McGlory, who only played in 22 or 23 games, could have played more, but what's the point? And I don't think management wanted him to play more because they wanted to lose games. They knew they were bad, and they wanted to get a higher lottery pick. Now, it didn't work out for them, and this may kind of shoot the wheels off, but New Orleans gets the fourth pick in the lottery. You know, my original thinking on this was Byron Scott, you know, was an assistant in Sacramento. He likes motion offense. He likes to be able to have a big man that can pass the ball, which Jamal McGlory is not. But Jamal McGlory is a guy that spends his time on the block. And Andrew Bogut is a very highly skilled guy coming out of college that can pass and shoot and would fit into that type of offense. And I think New Orleans had their eyes set on him. And if they were going to get a top two pick like they should have record-wise, they would have had a chance to get him. Now that kind of changes things a little bit. But the bottom line is they got a guy in McGlory who doesn't want to be there. He has a lot of value. They should consider moving him on. It's interesting, too, what an incredible fit Jerry Stackhouse would be for them. One, there's no long-term contract there. Two, he is a guy that will score for a team that can't score, attacking the basket, which would be a different complement to the young guy they love, J.R. Smith, who's an outside shooter. He would be a perfect three for them. They started George Lynch at the three last year. I mean, that's a bad three.
So lay out that deal salary cap-wise.
Salary cap-wise, you could do it with, let's say, Jerry Stackhouse, and you could give them their choice of Pavel or DJ Banga. I think that they would probably prefer Banga unless they wanted to the big 7-5 project. But, you know, Banga's only got 1 year left on his deal. McGlory's making about 8.9, somewhere in there, and their two salaries add up. You could, you know, that works salary cap-wise. You're giving up a great score in Jerry Stackhouse, but what you're gaining is you now have two, you know, McGlory is 6'11", 260. Dampier is 6'11", 265. You now have 12 fouls at that position with guys. McGlory is nasty. He's a mean dude. He will punch you in your face. If you want to change the attitude.
I've never done anything to him.
No, he will punch you, Ben Rogers.
I've never even said anything about
him. He told me. He'll kick you in your rear next time he sees you.
All right.
So if you get him in the mix, you've increased this idea that we've got to get tougher inside. You have a gritty player, and you have a player of size who was a defensive player. And 2 years ago, he averaged, you know, when he didn't have the injury season, he averaged 13.5 and 10 boards.
All right, so you're saying all you'd have to give up is Stackhouse and Pavel?
I'm saying that's a legitimate type deal. But
wow.
That was based on the idea that they would have a chance to draft Bogut because teams don't want to give up big guys. It's going to be more difficult. However, one thing that is interesting, if you want to try and get involved in a three-way deal, I know you do. You have a history with Larry Harris. Dale Harris, the son of Milwaukee, they have the number one pick, and they've said they're not opposed to trading it. You could possibly get involved in some sort of three-way where New Orleans obtains the number one pick out of the deal. Milwaukee drops down to the four pick, and you sweeten the deal. So there's options there. What I'm saying is that's the type of player, in my estimation, that they should target. They should target a guy like Jamal McGlory. I hear people talk about Jerome James in Seattle. I mean, he turned it on. You talk about frustrations with Dampier. Jerome James turned it on with 10 games to go in the season.
Oh, you bragged.
In his contract year. Yeah, I mean, you talk about coming and going in terms of your focus. I mean, Jerome James is probably worse off than Eric Dampier. This was his contract year.
I remember you watching him just going, oh, God, he's out of breath. He's been up and down the court twice.
And my favorite thing is, like, he would get burned on four consecutive possessions and block a shot and just glare. 20% success rate.
All right, Skin, you've sold me. I want Jamal McGlory.
And that may not be enough to get McGlory, but that's what I'm saying in terms of, you know, the way people view Stackhouse. He's a valuable commodity, and that still may not be enough to get a guy that can be a part of your center rotation, and you have only expect 24 good minutes out of Damp and 24 good minutes out of McGlory. You know, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You got to give up something like that if you're going to acquire a piece to shore up your defense inside.
All right, we don't have a lot of time, but let's take a quick call. Let's go to Dwayne in Fort Worth.
Skin, I mean, I think I'm going to get McGlory. I hang up and listen.
Well, I didn't understand you, Dwayne, but I would assume that, you know, a variation is kind of what we outlined. You know, look at New Orleans' need, it would be them gaining contracts that aren't bad contracts, and they get a lot of point production out of it as they look towards their future.
All right, it's 11:25 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Thank you for calling, Dwayne.
Ben and Skin, we are at Brook Maze Music in Arlington. We invite you to come join us. Don't turn this invitation down, and don't take this radio invitation lightly. Look at your radio. Listen, we're talking to you.
I'm so confused right now.
No. Hey, there's Paul Reed, Smith Guitars up here. Great deals to be had. Ticket Chicks are here. Good times. Get out of the rain. Come check out some cool instruments at Brook Maze in Arlington, 4636 South Cooper at I-20. We've got about 30 minutes left to go. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the best team in Major League Baseball right now, if you just go by winning streak.
Yeah, the White Sox are in town, Ben.
That's right. The two best teams, the hottest team against the best team, that series is going on now. Are the Rangers for real?
But my intuition has been doing pretty well lately. It's worked out sometimes. It hadn't worked out other times.
Uh-huh.
One time it had worked out for me was when I bought the Cowboys. It's a great investment.
Yep.
Intuition told me to do it. It's a good investment.
Yeah.
Time that it hasn't. It's when I get my sons involved in the business.
That hadn't worked out?
A time that it has worked out for me, hiring Jimmy Johnson.
Right.
Time that it hasn't, hiring Jim Gurley.
Yeah.
One time that my intuition did work out for me was Barry Switzer won Super Bowl with
me. Yeah, he did.
A time that it hasn't was hiring Barry Switzer. He ran the organization in the ground. One time that it has worked out for me was when an angel came and visited me and told me to get a facelift.
What? Angel?
Yeah. And a time it hasn't was thinking everyone wouldn't notice.
Take a listen to this. This is Norm during commercial break.
Okay, Rick, continue our draft coverage from up here in New York City, a place that I love. Oh, I love. One if by arrogance, two if by self-importance. Listen, hey, coming up next, some of the weird names in this year's draft. Oh, rough. That's so weird. Okay, we clear?
We clear.
Okay, Friedel, help me make up some names here. I've got Johnny Vagpants. Marcus Dillweed, does that sound good? Can you help me make up any? Come on. No, come on, we got to do the funny names. We always do the funny names. Come on, Horny McAnus. Horny McAnus. Okay. Hey, Chad, will you take this 20 and get me a bag of cocaine? They're about to enter the seventh round here. Give me some really good stuff, too. Also, give me a hooker. I don't want to spend too much, so get a black one.
Drop Page Radio.
All right, Frio, how much time do we have before we come back?
You got 3 minutes, Norm.
3 minutes? Oh, gosh, I don't know if I have time for this. I've got to let this one out. I had a bad dinner last night. Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes. Oh, jeez. Hey, Chair, are we coming back anytime soon?
Yeah, we're coming back now.
Oh, okay, right now?
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm not finished yet.
We'll fight through it.
Okay, well, I'll just have to talk over it. Okay. Good morning and a happy Saturday morning and a good morning and a happy Saturday morning and a good morning and a happy Saturday morning and a good morning and a happy Saturday morning. We are having fun getting drafty with you today. Horny McGain is going to be on here in a few minutes. We want you to check this out.
Oh, my goodness. That goes on during commercial breaks. No idea.
Or we're just loopy at the end of that draft, wasn't he?
The Ticket Stop Page Review.
So, you know you want to make a change to better vision, but how do you know which vision correction procedure is right for you? LASIK? Custom View Interlasik? CK? Crystal Lens? Your first step is a phone call to the Tylock Eye Care and Laser Center at 972-258-6400. We sponsor a complimentary vision seminar each Tuesday night. Call to reserve your seat at the seminar, and you will learn about the most proven technology and latest advancements. Dr. Tylock will also perform a live custom view intralasic procedure so you can talk to a patient about what LASIK is really like. Then, to top it off, you get a $200 discount toward your LASIK procedure. So call today and let the Tylock Eye Care and Laser Center take the confusion out of vision correction. Call 972-258-6400. That's 972-258-6400. Or visit us at Tylock.com. Tylock Eye Care and Laser Center. Let us make things perfectly clear for you.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, is this Tiger?
Speaking.
Hey, Tiger, it's the Dunham & Miller Show.
Oh, hi, viewers.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, we got bad weather here.
Yeah, it sounds like
we can hear that thunder.
Yeah, I told someone that this is God showing his opinion of Augusta's race is past. I should say past and present. I'm sitting here in the clubhouse at Augusta, and of course I'm having to sit in the black section.
What?
That's just me and about 20 caddies.
Oh, they don't have that.
Oh, man, George, you don't even understand. Hootie and the Blowhards treat me like crap.
But you're a three-time champion there.
I know, but he didn't even know who I am.
Oh,
he came up to me about an hour ago and asked me to sweep out the cart barn.
You know they had carts at Augusta.
$1,000 cash back on the full-size 305 horsepower Nissan Titan. This is the Nissan Truck Time event. The time to get up to $2,000 cash or 3% financing on the 5.6-liter V8 Titan is now. But hurry, these exciting offers end May 31st. Bold, powerful, tough. It's time to change the way you think about trucks. Nissan Truck Time. Nissan. Shift. Perspective. $17.96 per month for 1,000 borrowed. Down payment may be required. Subject to NMAQ Tier 2 credit approval. Cashback not available on some leases. Take delivery from new dealer stock. See dealer for details.
Ticket Sports News now.
Dallas Cowboys look to Drew Bledsoe to lead the offense in 2005. The team is holding a mini camp at Valley Ranch this weekend, and Drew is getting adjusted to the Dallas offense.
When you come into a new offense, the hardest part is just learning the new language. And there's a lot of carryover between this and what I did in Buffalo, and also what I did in New England going way back.
Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals goes down tonight in San Antonio as the Spurs host the Suns. Phoenix trailing the series 2-0. We'll get shooting guard Joe Johnson back in the lineup after suffering a fractured orbital bone in the Dallas series. San Antonio's Robert Horry thinks Johnson could help the Suns.
It's going to change a lot. It gives them more depth. With Joe coming out, that's another body they can throw out there. He can also run point, which gives Steve a little more time to rest, and that's going to be key.
Tonight's game 3 tips off at 8 o'clock, and the NHL has taken another hit. This time the league has lost its TV contract with ESPN and the network declined their $60 million option for next season. Our next ticket ticker coming up at 11:50, breaking sports news first guaranteed. I'm Sean Bass, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to Ben and Skin filling in for the Ranch Saturdays 10 to noon on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
North Texas Nissan Summer Bash, Friday, June 17th at Sneaky Pete's. Beer, babes, volleyball, and all the ticket guys. Brought to you by Nextel and the station that says, anytime you have a relay race, it builds excitement. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It is 11:33 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, and I've got good news for all people who like Rich Phillips and Oklahoma. He is going to be at Windstar Casino on May the 30th. This is Monday night. He's going to be there from 7 to 9. It's Interstate 35. You exit 1 in Thackerville, Oklahoma. You can go and see Rich Phillips and get your gamble on. Richard Wynn ticket t-shirts and an Orange County chopper. That is no joke. Go see your little buddy. Maybe he wants to do a little desperado talk with you. But that's Rich Phillips, Monday night, 7 to 9 in the big Oklahoma. Now, Ben, there's some big sports time going on that's current. You know, we've talked about the Cowboys, which hadn't happened yet. We've talked about the Mavericks, which is over. But what we do have is we do have Rangers baseball, and we have some serious Rangers baseball. They are on a 7-game win streak after two very impressive homestands, and they are now smack dab in the middle of a most serious homestand with the Chicago White Sox.
You're exactly right, Skin. And you mentioned prior to the show that ESPN was talking about, hey, are the Rangers for real? Or maybe they were saying the Rangers.
I was watching baseball tonight last night, and just out of nowhere, there wasn't even a Ranger highlight. Hey, the Rangers are for real.
Well, you're not really going out on a limb like when you see a team win 7 straight.
Right.
So it's really early, though.
There are some flags behind that, though. There are some little red flags, man.
It's you're exactly right. It's just so early, and the baseball season is so long, 162 games. That's why we always joke about the Buck Showalter show. It's like, what can you really say? Baseball, it changes over an elongated time period. It just doesn't happen so quickly where you can say, all right, here's a mini trend that we can base the rest of the season on. You just have to look at such large samples now. I will say that in a young season, what's happening today and what's happening tomorrow is a very early test for the Rangers.
Yeah.
And if they are for real, we'll find out today and tomorrow. But it's so early that even if they lose, it doesn't mean they're not. And if they win, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are. But it'll be a good indication because they're going against the best team in baseball right now in the White Sox, and they're going against two unbelievable pitchers who are combined 15-2 in the next 2 days, John Garland today and Mark Burley tomorrow.
Yeah, they're 15-2. They're first and second in victories in the American League. They're in the top 10 in ERA, innings pitched, win percentage, and opponent's batting average. Now, last night in the first game of the series, they kind of caught a little bit of a break in that they caught a 21-year-old kid making his second start, and they got some home runs on him, and they got him early. You know, now, the flip side is that Chris Young pitched rather spectacularly. He's probably thrown it as hard as he's thrown it all year. His location was really good. But that's part of one of the trends where if you want to talk about if the Rangers are for real or not, is what they're getting out of their starting pitching staff. And it really has been rather phenomenal most recently. I believe this is their ninth game in the last 13 in which a pitcher has gone at least six innings. And with the bullpen not being what it was last year because of injuries and whatnot, they absolutely have to get more out of their starters than they got last year, and they are.
That's nuts. And you're exactly right. That's what's so crazy about this season. The strength of last year was Dominican Rowe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this year they don't have Almanzar. They don't have Francisco. You know, they lost those guys. And those guys were so crucial to Coco, just getting the ball to him. And, you know, the starters were what was terrible last year. But this year,
it's
starters have been great. And they don't have the bullpen. So, with the Rangers, you know, it's funny. Tom Hicks, I get so irate talking about the Rangers because here we are, you know, top seven media market, yet we have a bottom seven payroll for the Rangers. That's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Rangers, I didn't really think they had much of a chance this year because they didn't do really that much to improve themselves. And, you know, just looking at the overall picture, it frustrates me so much that I just want Mark Cuban to go buy the Rangers. You know, just I want an owner to run it with passion and to try to win. I mean, you look at what's happening with the Yankees. Obviously, you can't just buy a championship. But for the Rangers to be top seven media, bottom seven payroll is unacceptable. So now when you look at what they've been able to accomplish, I just wonder, is Tom Hicks going to extend his alligator arms and reach down for his man wallet and bring this team some help?
Well, it has been that way. But one of the things that I guess I was a little apprehensive about that I wanted to see was I didn't want them to put the money in the wrong places because I think that they're definitely gun-shy. You know, the big example is Chan Ho Park, who ironically is actually kind of giving them something this year, and I believe he takes the mound today against John Garland. But the because of the makeup of the guys that are here, and I'm talking about what I would call the core in Blaylock, Young, and Teixeira, no disrespect to Soriano, but, I mean, I think he's been a really good contributor. But I don't think that he's kind of looked at. I still think that there's some thought that, okay, he could be gone next year. But that those guys at the core, they have such tremendous character. And you know who else I think you can throw in that mix is Kevin Mitch. I mean, how many times have they tried to get rid of this guy and he won't allow it? But those kind of guys, I think they have such tremendous character that I didn't necessarily think that that would rub off on a starting pitching staff and have them pitch the way that they've been pitching lately, which, as we know, that could obviously go the other way really quickly. But I didn't want them to just spend money to spend money because I thought that there is a certain character to the core of this team that would help at least stay competitive until they do kind of get the pieces in place. I do like the fact that they have some seemingly good young arms in the minors and Danks and Diamond, some guys that they're happy about. But I think that the number one thing is this team is really, really likable. You know what I'm saying? You know, the character and the personalities of those guys that are the key contributors, it's almost like they still have, I mean, they're gaining the experience, but they still have this sort of youthful enthusiasm that I think is going to be able to carry them through some tough situations. Times are good right now, but they're good against the Astros who can't win on the road, or they're good against Kansas City Royals who are bad against everybody. And tonight, or today, I can't think the game's at 3, and then tomorrow you got like a 1 o'clock start. Now you're going to see some real adversity. I believe Dries is pitching tomorrow, a guy who hasn't really, he's been better of late, but hadn't given them what they thought this year. You have Park and Dries on the mound against arguably two of the best pitchers in all of baseball for sure in the American League. So what happens after this weekend? If these are bad games, does it tarnish what's been done? If they're losses but they're close, can you build on that? You know, where are you looking as this team progresses on?
Yeah, I think they really need to win one of these two for sure. And if they sweep, they'll get some crazy momentum going.
Oh, yeah.
But they need help. The players will tell you. You can hear it in their quotes. I mean, the players know that they need help. And they're going to be watching this thing closely. And as you get to the All-Star break, where you've got teams that are out of it that are looking to dump salaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be up to Tom Hicks whether he'll step up and say, okay, we'll take that on. Or, you know, you look at Mike Sweeney being available. He would fit in perfectly for the Rangers. That'd be great to have a big 6'3", you know, guy that loves to play DH, that doesn't mind. Now, obviously, he's got some back problems and whatnot, but, God, you know, you look at among the league leaders, he's up there in average, home runs. The guy would be just a great addition to this team, and they've got holes. I mean, the offense is playing great right now, but, you know, they need a DH. They need to...
That offense comes and goes. You know what? What has been the number one knock on the Rangers? They get all their runs with home runs. They don't score with guys in scoring, don't score hit runs with guys in scoring position. And if you look at it, during the stretch, it's home run bonanza. I mean, even I think Big Dick Hidalgo's got 5 dingers in his last 6 games. I mean, it's been going into last night. I know they had 21 homers in the previous 6. So it's been that kind of feast or famine thing that has plagued them. And you're talking about solidifying the offense with a guy like Sweeney. They could certainly do that. But again, are you comfortable giving up younger guys that it could be a part of this core to get someone like that
in there? Well, if you're not giving up young pitchers, I mean, I think the Rangers are so depleted pitching-wise that they shouldn't trade young pitchers. But they've got... Their minor leagues, they've got some guys that have some value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Evan, I mean, people talk about, Jerry Fraley was telling me that he thinks people blow it out of proportion when they talk about how stocked the Rangers farm system is. They've got some players with value, but they're not just overly stocked.
Right.
But they've got guys at second base and shortstop where they're kind of set, you mm-hmm. would think. And, you know, I would even give up Soriano mm-hmm. if I needed to.
I still can't get a read if he's supposed to be a part of this team long term or not.
Yeah, I don't know either, but... You know, I would. You know, what about Roger Clemens? You know, this is a guy who's leading baseball with the ERA, but he's playing on a terrible team that's absolutely done.
Mm-hmm.
How much longer is he going to play? I know he says they say they're not going to trade him. He always says he doesn't want to play for any other team. But
I've always heard him say he'd go back to the Yankees.
He's a Texas guy. He's a tried and true Texas guy. I'm sure you could sneak in there and convince him to come play in Texas and give up something. You know, I just think that it's so hard to catch it. And it really is lightning in a bottle. And so I think the Rangers could be close enough this year, but they need help, man. They're getting it done, but they need some help.
What if could you convince the Astros to give you Clemens, to get Clemens back on board, if you offered to give them the silver boot back? Would that be enough?
I don't know. I mean, the silver boot is a huge prize, and I don't know that I'd be willing to give it up.
It's
just for Clemens.
It's a boot made of silver, though.
Maybe a copy.
Oh.
The Fabergé egg copy of the boot. But, you know, I don't know. All I know is the Rangers are stepping up just in time because the Mavericks broke our hearts. The Cowboys got some mini-camps going, but it's up to the Rangers right now. The spotlight's on them. They've got to hold our sports interest, and they're doing it. I mean, 7 straight wins. Sure, they've played some weak teams, but, you know, it's very impressive when you consider everything this team's been through. They had the worst schedule in baseball to start the season. They've had crazy injuries. They had a huge slump from their right fielder.
Right.
But they continually overcome. And you said a word that makes a lot of sense when you talk about this team, and that's character.
Mm-hmm.
The core of this team has so much character. It's just like last year when A-Rod called them a bunch of kids. They didn't know any better. They just went out and won. They didn't know they were supposed to lose. They just went out and won. And I believe in this team. I believe in the core. I just don't believe in the front office. I don't believe Tom Hicks is in it for the right reasons from a fan standpoint. You want an owner that's passionate, that's willing to spend. It's ridiculous to be top 7 media, bottom 7 payroll. To me, that's got to change.
Well, at least he has made the transition to being able to wear sunglasses inside like his boy John Hart. I think that's huge.
I agree. It is funny to see. By the way, my little brother's working on a fake Tom Hicks.
Is it good?
It's pretty good. He actually got me the other day. I was checking my voicemail at work, and for a second I thought Tom Hicks was, like, calling to get on us about something.
I wouldn't mind if Tom Hicks called me.
All right, it's 11:44 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to Ben and Skin filling in for The Rant, as we do on the last calendar Saturday of each month. And we're at Brook Mays in Arlington, and this is the mothership for all Brook Mays stores. They've got more out here to choose from. There is a sea of beautiful electric guitars. There's a $44,000 piano.
I'm leaving with it, Ben.
Skin, that stand-up bass is $8,600.
I can't afford both, Ben.
Do you have any interest in that?
Maybe I'll take them.
One of my favorite instruments. I didn't realize they were that much.
I call that a double bass, but that's just me.
Oh, very nice. All right, well, feel free to come join us out here. The sales are going to go on all day. Come get out of this weather and jump into Brook Mays with us. Coming up next, we will wrap up the show, maybe talk a little Star Wars.
Good idea, Ben.
We'll do that next on Sports Radio.
They're like BJ
in here in my section because they didn't have a Haitian section.
He's from Fiji.
Did you know that Phil Mickelson already owes various people over $130,000?
Already?
Since he's been here?
Wow. That was fast.
Yeah, he bet me I think it was $2,000 that he could throw a golf bag over the mountains up there.
Of course he couldn't do that.
He's actually not in the clubhouse. He's in the debtor's prison they have up under the clubhouse.
Boy, they are old-fashioned there, aren't they?
I sure wish they had a Chinese section because legally I can go in there too.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe a little bit nicer.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, it's hell being black and Chinese at the same time.
Is it?
Yeah, that means not only do I trick up my car, but I also can't drive it.
Oh, my God.
That's what Hootie said to me, and that offended me.
Radio.
The Ticket Drop Age Radio.
This thing with Tiger Woods here from Augusta during the rain delay.
I'll tell you who else I hate. I hate that freaking racist Jim Nantz.
Jim Nantz? He's not a racist.
I stole a sheet of scripted lines. That was my prank to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, we always guess that he has his ending scripted for...
Of course he scripts everything. You want to hear some of these lines that he scripted in case I won?
Yeah.
You tell me if he isn't racist. Here's the first line. There goes the neighborhood.
God, that's awful.
Then he has, guess who's coming to the champion's dinner? black like him.
Oh, my.
Blacky black man wins again.
Oh, yeah, that's just awful.
Here's one. Irony alert. Black man dominates Masters.
Jim Nantz would not write something like that.
The Ticket Drop Page Radio.
Squeeze them. Oh, yeah, they're classic.
Yeah, Walt, this one's for you, my brother.
Word up, word up.
You coined the phrase. When you look around, you might hear the sounds. The Rudy Jaramillo playing quarters on the ground. You got Johnny Oates unwinding the walls. Cap was flexing his muscles and scratching his balls. We think Mr. Melvin is hitting the sauce. Because the Rangers got a case of dugout chaos. In the worst way, they are so screwed up in that dugout. Check it out. It might feel good if you know the situation. Utility man helps avoid the temptation. With a good book, he's a man of the cloth. But even the Lord can't stop dugout chaos. It might feel good, it might sound a little something. But damn the game if it don't mean nothing. What is game? Who got game? Where's the game? It all sounds the same, but this team is lame. I got game, he got game, she got game. Ranger fans, bow your heads and shame. It might feel good, it might sound a little...
A reasonable offer must be accepted at Vandergrift London. Get Honda Accords and Odysseys. Any reasonable offer must be accepted. Honda Pilots and Elements. Any reasonable offer must be accepted. Even the all-new Honda Ridgeline. Hurry to Vandergrift Honda, just off I-20, across from the Harts Mall. Vandergrift Honda just received 2002 Civic LXs with air and automatic. Discount prices of $89.95 were posted, but forget them, because any reasonable offer must be accepted. We're open Sunday, so browse inventory Saturday at Vandergrift Honda.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Oh, Sports Ticket. Today I'm going to be kicking off Memorial Day weekend with you at Centennial Fine Wine and Spirits.
In sports news now.
Dallas Cowboys are holding a minicamp this weekend at Valley Ranch. Ticker brought to you by Brook Mays Music and Classic Chevrolet. The team improved defensively through the draft, as well as free agents on both sides of the ball, and head coach Bill Parcells feels good about things heading into this summer.
I feel a lot better than I did at the end of last season about our prospects in terms of improving the quality of the talent on the team. I think we have a big chance to do that at a lot of positions.
The Texas Rangers will go for 8 straight this afternoon at the ballpark as they host the Chicago White Sox. Heading into the day, Texas is 28-20 and tied for first in the American League West. second first baseman Mark Teixeira credits the Rangers' starting rotation.
Our starting pitching has been great. You know, that's the reason why we won seven in a row. Our offense has been there and scoring just enough runs to win the games, and our defense has been solid today.
Chan Ho Park at 4-1 gets to start for Texas today. He takes on the White Sox, John Garland, who is 8-1 with a 2.57 ERA on the year. First pitch goes down after 3 o'clock at the ballpark. Weather permitting, you can see that game on Fox 4. And Cubs starter Mark Pryor has been placed on the 15-day disabled list after Pryor was nailed with a line drive in his right elbow yesterday against Colorado. Initial x-rays were negative, but an MRI showed a small fracture in the elbow. Our next ticket ticker coming up at 12:10 with the great Ty Walker, breaking sports news first guaranteed. I'm Sean Bass, reminding you to remember the time you spend listening to Ben and Skin filling in for the rant Saturdays, 10 to noon on Sports Radio, 1310 The Ticket.
Send your complaint letters to Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. We open all our mail in hopes that a naked Polaroid will fall out.
11:51 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. We are wrapping up what has been one of the best radio shows in the history of radio. Skin.
Thanks, Ben.
I'm happy to report that I just won a Marconi.
Get out of here.
You almost won one.
Yeah, I didn't know I was nominated, but that's great that you won.
For the segment we just did.
Oh.
Earlier on the Rangers.
I wish they hadn't separated us out, but that's okay. You carried us.
That's all right. Hey, I mean, we might get another Marconi for the Star Wars segment.
We always have high hopes.
Hey, we are at Brook Mays in Arlington. We certainly invite you to come out here and enjoy the great sale prices. This is a clearance event. Don't kid yourselves. Come out here, buy a guitar, buy a keyboard. Sign your kid up for some lessons. Stop neglecting your kids.
Hey, trade your kid in for a keyboard.
There's a $44,000 piano. Depending on what your kid looks like, that may be an even swap.
A $44,000 kid? Bring him in. Trade him for a piano.
Exactly. Or maybe credit towards a $44,000 piano if it doesn't cover the full piano.
Save a horse. Ride a piano.
They've got Paul Reed Smith guitars on sale. That's crazy. Gibson Historic reissue Les Pauls in stock. That doesn't happen very often. They've got deals like you buy any band or orchestra instrument. So parents, if you got a kid in band or orchestra, go ahead and come out here and buy them any instrument and receive a Manhasset stand and S-Series cleaning kit for free.
Now, when you say instrument, is that like a euphemism, or what are you talking about?
No, just come out. Oh, look at that kid. He's a kid just walked out here with an Eddie Van Halen guitar. Very nice.
I've got a Scorpions 8-track for you, young man.
Could be a prodigy. You never know. There's a lot of talent around the store.
Shout out Klaus Meine.
Skin, I know you saw Star Wars because we randomly saw each other at the same theater that the movie was showing.
That was so gay.
Just randomly happened. I have to admit that I was so tired. I just got back in town from Austin, and I fell asleep like 3 times during the movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I figured you were tired when you said, "Hey, Alice, I'm going to get popcorn," and then that was the only conversation we had. I thought, man, he must be really tired or really think I'm Alice.
Yeah,
What times did you fall asleep?
I'm not sure. It wasn't that the movie was boring at all, because it wasn't. It was just I was really tired. So I've got to see it again. I really wasn't prepared to talk Star Wars today, but I will say this. The chick who plays the princess.
Not Natalie Portman?
Natalie Portman, I think. I don't like her in this. I don't know if it's she can't act, or I think she may act in other things, or maybe she acts so consistently in everything she's in, but I'm not believing her. And the guy that plays Darth Vader,
Hayden Christensen.
I don't really buy him either. Mm-hmm. I don't buy his act. I saw him in another movie where I just thought he was overacting.
Was it Shattered Glass? Is that what you saw him?
It was the one where he's a reporter.
Yeah, Shattered Glass.
Yeah.
I didn't see that, Ben, but I will say this. I thought that this, you know, it's been well documented that this is perhaps the best Star Wars movie of the new three, and I agree with all that. And one of the things, you know, I kind of like the Hayden Christensen guy as Darth Vader. I think he's solid. Now, one of the problems is when you're talking about acting in a movie like this, I mean, for one, it's cheesy story. For two, it's terrible dialogue.
Right.
And for three, you know, they're acting against blue screens. But I thought that the kind of exchanges he had with Ewan McGregor, who I think is great in everything he's in, was a little bit better for this movie than the previous two.
It was better. It was better, but maybe it's the hangover effect from the last one that I didn't like.
Correct.
But you're right. Samuel L. Jackson, to me, even seems bad in this.
He's borderline comical, yeah.
Right.
Hey, that's the deal with Star Wars.
I'm like, why is Coach Carter talking to Chewbacca?
That's the deal with Star Wars, man. It's
now, Chewbacca, you've got to get your grades up. You'll never go to Wookiee school like this.
I mean, it's corny dialogue. It's cheesy story lifted from old Asian cinema. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. We grew up with this. It's funny, you know, I've been hearing, the Sturmtrooper, Bob Sturminator, who grew up with Star Wars like we did. And he was talking about how much he didn't like the next three movies. You know, this one in particular, talking about how it's like he feels like it's like a cover band doing Star Wars. You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, the number one thing for me is that, you know, I'm not 10 anymore. So the type of stuff that used to pass for good when I was 10 is harder to impress me when I'm 30.
I went back and watched The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, which I thought was the greatest movie ever.
It's not as good anymore, is it?
I can't sit through it.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the kind of thing that happens. And you know what? Think about it this way, Ben. You're not listening to the same music you were listening to when you were 10 either. Your taste and what you're into, it changes over time. So what it comes down to is, are you nostalgic enough for what Star Wars meant to you as a kid to be able to sit through what it is now? And for me, you know, I realize that I think of these, all three of the newer movies aren't as good as the older ones, just as movies or whatever. But at the same time, you know, I've got enough nostalgia for Star Wars where I can look past all that stuff, and, you know, it holds my interest. And I saw the last one with one nephew and this one with another nephew, and they're totally enchanted by the thing. I mean, they're totally into it, and it's because, you know, they're not comparing it to Pulp Fiction.
Now, this was the first one that wasn't, like, rated G or...
It was PG-13.
It was a PG.
And I thought that it was very dark.
I was shocked by the end. The whole movie I'm watching, I'm going, okay, how does Darth Vader end up getting so screwed up where he's got to wear that, you know, Darth Vader suit?
Right.
And that was pretty graphic, man. Yeah. Watching him, that was pretty realistic.
And I think even more so than that, for me at least, was just overall the theme and tone of the movie was very dark and at times a little bit depressing. I mean, I found myself kind of being, could have been that I saw it early in the morning, but there's, you know, it just kind of instills dread in you a little bit. That's just the tone of the movie. So if you have a kid that gets nightmares easily, maybe he doesn't need to see this thing. I don't know. My dad pretty much turned me loose when I was 5 and I could see anything. And, you know, and I think that's why I'm so screwed up today, but I thank him for it because I got to see full frontal nudity as a small child.
You watched 10?
10 was a regular staple of my youth.
I remember a whole house full of kids watching 10 on View. You know, they put the antenna on there.
Right.
And my older brother walked in the room and everyone had a pillow in their lap.
And then why did you guys do that?
I don't know.
That's so weird. That reminds me of a funny moment. You remember in the first Airplane movie when they go, oh my God, you're out of coffee. And then the girl runs in front of the camera and she's topless. I was watching that, and my dad walked in right at that time, and he looked at the TV screen, saw that, looked at me, he's got a big grin on his face, pumped his fist, and walked out of the room.
Oh, my God.
Gold.
Listen, I've got another story that ties in that. I told you about the new laptop.
Uh-huh.
I took it on a flight with me this week on Thursday. It was the first time I've ever had one. So I'm watching a movie, so I bring the Royal Tenenbaums.
Uh-huh.
So I'm watching that. I never thought there was anything bad in that.
Oh, yeah, there's nudity in it.
But I forgot about the full nude picture.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the girl, and she used to be with the band.
The Jamaican band.
And then they show, like, a piece of art. And I mean, everyone can see this monitor. And I'm sitting there, and it's like a naked woman. And I'm like, oh, my God.
You have to put your pants back on. There's a little kid behind you.
It was amazingly awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And are there rules about that? Could you just jump on a plane and watch any DVD you want, or are there rules?
I don't know. Let's talk about that at 12:30.
How could everyone see it? Were you standing next to the stewardess, and she was giving instructions up there?
Oh, Kevin Scott, how are you, sir?
Good, Ben. How are you?
Hey, thanks for joining us. No, I had it on, the little fold-out tray, and I'm not saying everyone on the plane, but everyone around me, you know, I was on the aisle.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and if you don't have anything to do, I've always watched other people's laptops if I can see them if I'm on a flight just because you're bored.
And the nun sitting to your right just woke up as that scene came on.
Oh, my God.
It's weird because she was reading Boy's Life and the little boy was reading Nun's Life right next to him.
It was so amazingly awkward. It's just a woman's body completely nude from her neck down to, like, her mid-thigh.
That's how I like them.
And anybody reading a leaflet on Jewish sports heroes?
I'm telling you, man, it was amazingly awkward. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to immediately close the laptop or if that would draw too much attention, and I just wrote it out thinking, all right, it'll be off any second. It took an eternity to get off the screen.
Instead of doing that, you panicked and jumped up and goes, I got naked chicks on my laptop! And then everyone just ran over to see.